Look at you. You got me this week. You were ready for that spirit. For you. The Sunday service here on DoubleToasted.com. I am Pastor Corey Coleman, and over here with the tappity toes is Mr. Martin. How you doing?
Whose hands are not nearly as big as they are in the cartoon.
Man, them are best slapping hands right there, man. Damn, you could choke the shit out of me with them hands right there.
With one hand.
Get over here. Yeah, man, them some big ass hands right there. Oh, but Martin, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine, my friend. How about yourself?
Man, I'm doing great. Thank you for your patience. People had a little bit of a pre-show for you. Why don't we go ahead and welcome those people who are not in the chat, who are not in the studio, although we'll tell you how to get here in this wonderful church today. And as I always said, you know something? Y'all think y'all good. Y'all think, well, you know, I'm miles away from the church. I can't attend today. I'm sorry. No, no, that you were able to run them streets. You out there with them hoes.
Even
you,
Alan made his way.
Even Alan, the black slender man made up here. Black Satan himself is up in here. You ain't got no excuse. Especially make it as easy as we do for you, because this church only requires you to pull out a keyboard and type in for us kcoolmans @gmail.com. That's kcoolmanz @gmail.com. You email us with any kind of questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and or advice. Now, if you'd like to be a part of the church today, as you should be, in that email, put your phone number in there, put your Skype contact in there. Type saying, hallelujah, up in your home, talking to you, Martin, the only pastors in the world that bring the spirit to your home, the only pastors in the world that do house calls, on their Twitter, occasionally, @kcoolman, on the Instagrams @DoubleToasted fan page, on Facebook, type in Double Toasted, would you like some private prayer time with us, type in Corey.Coleman.5, if I'm too busy saving them souls, Minister Martin,
X gonna give it to you, on Twitter and Instagram, @Martin_NoFro, or look for Martin Thomas on Facebook. Back to you,
no
Corey.
Couldn't goddamn better to do something like that.
Come on, man. You know you love it.
You come on, man. Minister X over here. Oh, come on down to the studio, people. That's better than anything when you bring your flesh and blood onto thee. Down here in the world famous Double Toasted Studios. It's very easy. Just email us at kcoolmans@gmail.com. Let us know if you're going to be visiting Austin. You're going to be moving to Austin. You're going to already be in Austin. You didn't tell nobody. That's sneaky. Don't do that. Come see a show. kcoolmans@gmail.com. You know how we do here. You send us an email. We'll send you an email back. We, Martin, will coordinate with each other. And that way, when we do that, oh, shit, I'm sick. I'm not sick anymore. I got to come back. Yo! Some metal, but you know it. Oh, Mark trying to get in on it. Mark trying to get in on it. Oh, who gonna stop first? Who gonna stop first? Who gonna wait? I can't press.
All right, I'm dizzy. It's enough.
Fuck you, nigga. Turn my back to you.
Try to turn your back on me, boy.
You're gonna grab me by the back of my neck, man. Try to compete with me, sir. Okay, so here's the announcement that I have for you guys out there. Now, first of all, I know you think we're talking about the party, but that's not it. No, nah. No, we got some other things.
You already
for
missed
you.
The party.
Yeah, no, don't tell them that, because you know they'll be like, "Damn it, man, I'm gonna buy a ticket." They'll never go back and look.
True.
Yeah, don't tell them that. No, the announcement I want to tell you before we have the announcement for the party, which I've been telling you about every week, we have joined up with a certain movie that's coming out this week. You already seen it, and that movie is Baby Driver.
Shop, let's talk it. The target is an armored truck, the Perimeter Trust, 10 a.m. sharp. Switch car, baby, hit the wrong state parking structure. You start in the a.m. questions.
I got a question, Doc. Why would I believe phones over here heard a goddamn word you said? He ain't even listening.
I'm sure. The switch car is ready, but you want me to hit the long stay parking structure and get a heist vehicle that stays colder longer? It needs to be ready for an 8:30 start. Questions?
You've been my driver for every job since we met. You're the best in the business.
That's the new Edgar Wright movie that's coming out, which is all about driving. And bank heist. Mm-hmm. And sexy people pulling them. And everybody's saying that they... well, I guess.
No, that's what it is.
Jamie Foxx is pretty hot,
you're
know?
Right. No, you're right. You nailed it.
This is, if you wonder who Edgar Wright is, that name sounds familiar. Well, he's the one that did, he's doing something completely different. You know, he was doing all these other genre movies, zombies, Shaun of the Dead. He did action movies with Hot Fuzz and that fucking bar movie that nobody saw. Something About the World. But, the thing is, he's come to America now with this production right here with a full American cast mostly. And they say that this is 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. And everybody wants to see this movie now because it's not only is it something where it has a lot of action in there, a lot of car chases, a lot of thrilling heists, but they say this movie's got Martin, and I didn't see the movie, but you can tell them, they say this movie got one hell of a goddamn soundtrack. That baby be racing them cars to the music.
It's true.
And they said the soundtrack is so good. They say, you know something, if you decide to pull your own bank heist, you're going to need some tunes yourself. So they want to give the soundtrack away to people.
Oh, okay.
And the cast is so sexy, Martin, that they're talking about giving a poster away where the whole cast has signed it.
No way.
Now, man, well, I wouldn't lie to you, brother. Way. And they say, we want to give this away to you folks out there. I would love to take the poster myself. But since I'm helping to sponsor this, I can't have
it. Yeah, that'd be a conflict of interest.
A conflict of interest. I'm not eligible. I love these tunes, but I can't have this soundtrack right there. So I have to give them to you. So the way this is going to work is they've asked me to play a little game with you guys, the company, and they said, just ask them a couple of questions, a few questions this week. And so what we're going to do is this movie comes out on Wednesday. So every day leading up to the movie, including the day of the movie, I'm going to ask a different question from people. And these questions are going to have to deal with things such as heist movies, okay, car chases in movies, car scenes in films. And maybe we'll throw in some Edgar Wright trivia in there for all you nerds. And we're going to start out with our first question today. And what I want to do for this is I would like for people to email me. kcoolmans@gmail.com. The first one to give me the correct answer is going to be the one who's going to be put into the running for the final drawing for the prizes. So we're going to have about four people who give me the correct answer for these questions. And then once we get our four finalists, we'll pick two for the actual prizes right there. And let me see. I have the question that was submitted to me today. I wish I had it for the screen, but it was just submitted to me. I asked for it today, and they just gave it to me. So here's the first question, and I'll play a little bit of the movie right here while I ask you. So this question has to do with a heist film. And the question is, in the movie Heat, released in 1995, during the armored car heist, name the actors that make up the core crew. As you see in this movie, we have our crew right here. You see these guys, but it's been a long time since people have seen Heat. So, true. Once again, in the movie Heat, during the armored car heist, name the actors that make up the core crew. So, if you have the answer, which I'm sure you can get it, very easy to get on the Googles. Everybody can get on Google and find the answer. But who will be fast enough to give me that answer? Who's going to be the quickest driver out there?
Dang, I can think of three off the top of my head, but is that one? I'm blanking on.
Yeah. I tried to get it before I looked at the answer, and I didn't get the answer. I had to look it up myself. So, kcoolmans@gmail.com. Let me know what the answer is. The first person to give me the answer will be one of the people. The first person that will be entered into the drawing for either the signed poster or the soundtrack. And I'm not sure. I think the soundtrack might be signed, like a CD signed by the cast, too.
That's a hot soundtrack.
So, I'll be looking for your answers, and I'll let you know who that is at the end of the show. Once again, send your answer to kcoolmans@gmail.com. kcoolmanz@gmail.com. Fastest driver to drive up with the answer for me will be entered into the contest. And, oh, that's right, in the party. Got more information getting closer to letting you guys know about the hostel that's going to be helping us out during the anniversary party. And we'll probably have that by tomorrow, along with some videos and other things for you and some more information. But just real quick, Friday, August 4th through early in the morning on August 7th, 2 a.m. We're going to be having the Double Toasted third year anniversary weekend party. As I said, we got the live shows, the games, the parties, the meet and greets, lunches and brunches, all kind of good stuff for you. $25 for the ticket. That's $25 for 72 hours of fun. Some people charge you $72.
That's almost too much fun.
That's almost too much fun.
But just $25?
Martin, we are practically giving this weekend away.
That's got to be the early bird price, right?
Martin, no, that is $25
across
the top.
Man,
I'm telling you, most people would charge you $25 for one day. They said you boys are fools for giving this weekend away. But we said we don't care because you've been loyal to us and we're going to be loyal to you. So $25. See you there. I'll remind you again at the end of the show.
We lose money on every ticket, but we make it up in volume.
I thought you were going to say in fun and throw glitter and confetti up.
Yeah, where was I going to get that from?
Your ass out. <on. laughs> Put your ass up in there and just shoot glitter. Fun! Oh, let's see, people. Hey, I want to let y'all know. I'm trying to get my bachelor party together. I got, man, in less than 2 weeks, I'll be a married man.
I know. I was thinking about that, how quickly it's, well, it's creeping up. It's not creeping up anymore. It's just about here. You don't have a best man, so there's nobody to officially throw you a bachelor party.
I know. I got a friend of mine who's trying to take me out to Shreveport, Louisiana. I think so, because he's got a gambling problem.
Yeah. And my thing is, look, if you're having a bachelor party, I'll be there. But, man, a destination party with less than 2 weeks' notice,
I know,
it's kind of tough.
I know. I wasn't going to do any party because I've always said I've done enough crazy shit in my life. Ain't no bachelor party going
to
top it.
And that's the thing. We were at Elliot's bachelor party talking to you. Trying to figure out, okay, we got to have some kind of bachelor party for him. And you say, like, nah, man, my life has been a bachelor party. And I was like, wow, truer words have never been spoken. Like, even when I mention that to people who were so adamant, like, we got to do something, and I tell them what you said, they go like, wow, that's prophetic. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Unless we kill a hooker during that bachelor party. Ain't nothing top of my life. I like the way Sammy. People, Sam in the house, a.k.a. Puerto Rican Bluto. How you doing? Man, he look just like Bluto, don't he?
I know. I was thinking that, too. He's got that cap and that big, bushy beard.
He walked out of the – he came to a Halloween party dressed as Bluto.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Oh, how did I miss that? Please tell me you got a picture somewhere.
There's pictures somewhere, yeah. No, he's just – man, y'all should see this big dude over here because he got the beard. He looks just like Bluto. And when I saw him, I was like, God damn, the cartoon lives. I thought he walked out of the fucking cartoon. I thought some supernatural shit had happened.
did he date rape olive oil at some point?
Well, no, he was chasing my girlfriend through the whole party, though, because she looked like olive oil with a skinny ass.
Oh, sorry.
Popeye. Man, that really was Bluto. Y'all ever watched the cartoons? Bluto tried to rape Popeye. Probably him, too. He tried to rape olive oil.
He tried to date rape her all the time. He's always trying to, seduce her. And she'd be into it just to make Popeye jealous. Then that point when Bluto is like, all right, now you got to give it up for real. And he's like, no, I don't think so. And he's like, bullshit.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I mean, that's a confusing-ass cartoon. I'm telling you, a lot of people have gone to jail over that cartoon.
Yeah.
With fucking Bluto.
Well, it's abusive all the way around because then Popeye would have to come in and beat up Bluto, and then he'd take her back every time.
But she would always lead. And that's why I'm not trying to. That's why you don't see Popeye cartoons on TV that much, because it would be some shit where olive oil would lead Bluto on.
Yeah.
See, my man never pays attention to me. I need a real man.
Oh, you're
like
so
you.
Handsome.
Yeah. Oh, you're so strong. Yeah, beat it, punk. Your bitch is with me now. And then when Popeye would turn around and be like, well, I don't know what to do. I already got my ass beat by him. I'm out of spinach. I don't know what to do. And she'd be like, I wasn't really into this guy. I'll just wait for that one time. Popeye said, no, man, fuck you. You want it. Oh, shit. Yeah, come here. It's because we are not condoning rape or rape.
No, not at all.
But I'm telling you
how fucked up it was.
But it was a fucked up cartoon, man. And that's how I saw you that night. A big cartoon rapist.
Oh, you had a party. You're like, y'all got some spinach around here? Because I feel like shit is going to go down.
Yeah. Yeah, man. They made some fucked up cartoons back in the day. I was trying to find one cartoon where that happened, where Bluto was just all
and
over.
And somewhere they showed that Popeye and Bluto had been friends when they were both in the Navy together.
Yeah, and then Oliver will come in and fuck that shit up.
Yep.
Hey, look, a dame. Yeah, but we ain't gonna let that bitch get to us out. And hit at the end of the card. He's like a fucking game. Of course I'm gonna go for it. Oh, that's the one right here where they were friends, man. They just got off the fucking ship. They got off the ship looking like gay sailors, by the way. But they got off and all, and she'd make them start fighting each other.
Yeah.
Look at this shit.
Oh my god, this is embarrassing.
Come on, Bluto. Let's go. What the fuck? I told you, look at this shit. Come on, Bluto.
Fuck that dude. He don't like me no more. He don't pay attention to me.
Put our money for a boat. Because you know that shit ain't cheap. Put our money for a boat, showing her a good time.
Popeye sure is a sucker for an April Fool gag.
Oh, this is when they were fucking with each other.
Yeah.
Trying to out gag each other, yeah. Got them big old, like, them Sambo lips. But y'all saw how she was turning them on each other. You saw that? Yeah, yeah. Come on, Blue. I'm not even get to the rapey part because I don't even want to. I don't want to be accused of.
Yeah, I don't know if this is one of those, but there's some of those other ones. They'd be at the carnival, or I think the one with Aladdin. Just so many that were that way.
Yeah, and she'd give him eyes, and when it's time to put out, at least make out, he'd be like, yeah, so, you know, about that kiss. And she's like, I don't know nothing about no fucking kiss. Get off me. No, hell no, we here now.
Popeye, hell.
Now, granted, Bluto should have just said, fuck you, and move on, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm not condoning anything he did.
No, because he bought a boat ride as the title of him.
I'll pay for this shit. You're going to give me something, goddammit. No, it was weird. But you know, that's why you don't see that shit no more. But anyway, where was I? Yeah, my bachelor party. So,
yeah, Bluto coming to your bachelor party.
So Bluto's going to come to my bachelor party over there. But she's already out doing her thing. They're doing that thing today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Sammy's girlfriend is out there with her right now.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, that's why they're on a boat.
Yeah, she sent me something today. I just had my ass laughing because they did this what is it?
A wig party.
Where they go off and they get like a goofy makeover. Like they make them put on these wigs and they give them like these really big eyelashes and a whole bunch of makeup. And then they go out on the town dressed like that and just get drunk.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. And Mia already, she called me today in the middle of the day. Already, she's been out there barely an hour. She's already fucked up. Hey, baby, look at me. I look crazy, don't I? And I looked at it and I said, I'll be goddamn. Because they turned it into something. And this is the first thing that came to my mind when I saw her. When you look at this, what do you think of?
Janice from the Muppets.
For sure.
Oh, wow. I called it.
I was like, man, it turned you into the Muppets. Janice from the Muppets. I was like, whoa. And I'm turned on by it. Like,
yeah, you always had a thing for Janice.
I told you I always had a thing for Janice, man. And I looked at that and I was like, Jesus, that's a dream come true right there. I said, and here's the best part about it. They let her keep the wig.
Oh, really?
They let her keep the wig. Those
is that a wig or just some tinsel from a Christmas tree?
I don't know what that shit is, man. Got her looking like a goddamn sex bot or something. Right. Fem bot, yeah.
Okay, that is hot.
No, it is. I told her. I said,
keep that.
Keep that shit on. Because tonight, I'm gonna be on your ass like Bluto. Yeah. Apparently, they're having a lot of fun. So for my bachelor party,
okay. Well, we got to top that, man. We got to put on superhero costumes and do bath salts and go downtown.
be Batman eating some dude's face. Joker tastes good.
I'm Venom, bitch.
Joker gotta be stuffed. Jump out of windows, bleeding to death. Batman.
Yo, you just do a bunch of PCP and go up on the roof and see what happens.
Never done it before.
Right?
Let's do it. I'm down. Hey, man, you see me fighting it? I'm down for it. I'm ready. Ready to do some. What's that? Let's get wet. Let's get wet. Yeah. I'm ready, man. Let's do it. Oh, let me. I'll let people know if I have a bachelor party. I mean, there's some problems.
People, you're going to invite the world?
No. You know me. I don't care. Yeah, come on down.
You don't care, but yeah, Tim might.
We'll start at my house. Which I wouldn't mind doing because Mia going to have her parents there at that time.
Ooh. So. No, sweetheart, you cannot marry this man. He's a very bad man. Yeah. Very bad man.
Yeah. They, and believe me, they haven't had a full dose of Corey yet because even her brother stayed with us. Her brother stayed with us for about 5 months.
Was it that long?
It was that long. We almost got by without a hitch, man. I almost was able to like put on that act for him. Oh, good old Corey. Good, I'll make a great husband. But there was one night, I don't even want to repeat the details of it because it was stupid, but it was very stupid.
Something set you off, though.
But something set me off, and it was all over a Subway sandwich. And I went.
I know you love Subway, man, but.
But that month, you were going to risk your marriage over it? And I lost my shit.
Does this end with you choking him?
No.
That seems to be your signature move.
Because he left the room. he knew. He got up and he's like, I'm out. This motherfucker's crazy. But she went and talked to him. And she told me like months later. She said, yeah, he got scared that night. And he's like, you're marrying this guy. This guy who loses shit over Subway sandwich. Are you sure you want to do this? So she must really love me because she said, I'm going to do it.
Glad it wasn't thunderclap. Would have been a death in the house.
I know. Shit, I would have brought the thunder to that fucking cloud right there. But she's still here. So the whole family's coming in and all of them. Like I said, we're going to be a Turkish ghetto up in there because all of them in there. We buying a bed for them. She went through and made repairs on every part of the house. Shit, I didn't even know she knew how to do. Shit that we call people to do. She's just too lazy to do it. She knew how to do it the whole time. But when I didn't feel like doing or paying for it no more, man, that house, that living room, that kitchen, she almost rebuilt a brand new kitchen for them.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. No, we got new knobs. She painted some shit.
New knobs.
New knobs, man. Some shit they ain't even worried about.
I can't have them going back home talking about my knobs.
Knobs, man. Just fucking knobs. They work fine. You hold them and pull the door open. That's all we need. She went over there. She was working all night, changing every. She looked like a person that, like a mentally ill person, changing every fucking knob in the kitchen. So her parents might have to look at her old, ugly knobs.
Parents can see these knobs. Are you crazy? We have a reputation.
Some shit that they'll never even pay attention to when they get here.
I don't know, man. You might see the mom walking around, white glove, checking things. Going,
Oh, that's what she's really worried about.
Yeah.
And I'm not lying because when I went to Turkey to see her parents.
Uh-oh, wait. If he's here, then
who's the other big Mexican on the couch? We got, oh, man, you've been replaced. There's another Mexican on the couch over here.
Named Sammy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what his name is Sammy. Yeah. When I went to Turkey, her mother, and I don't know what it is. I'm telling y'all, Turkish women, because I've had four different Turkish girlfriends. They Turkish women like me, and even the moms.
It is for.
Church. And a couple of them gonna be at the wedding.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna when the whole time I'll be looking at the crowd just winking. What's up, ladies? Remember when? But no, I ain't gonna do that.
No. All right, I won't leave open that invitation that if anyone objects to this union,
no,
please
gloss right over that. Kama Dukes might be on it too. Cause even Turkish mothers love me. She got a Turkish friend of hers. and her friend saw a picture of me. And her friend's mother come to town, and she's like, "When can I meet Cordy?" She's like, "You know he's been married. I just want to hang." So, the Dracula all of a sudden. But her mother, when I went to Turkey, to Istanbul, to meet her stepmother, you know, I was just being Cordy. I was like, "Oh, you, I love your hair." And of course, she was like, "Oh, I like him." You know, now she's talking about coming to town, and she's like, "I can't wait to see what you've done with your place, and I can't wait to see Corey." And she's asking me, she's like, she phrases it as in, "So are you going to be hanging out with my mom and doing what you did in Turkey?" Which translates into, "Are you going to fuck my mom?" I mean, y'all are going to be in the same house. You know,
well, it's stepmother, so it's not really incestuous.
Thank you. That's the way I think of it.
And I'm imagine her dad tried to get somebody a little bit younger, so probably makes you and the stepmom about the same age.
Yeah, I told her, man, is it really bad if I allow your dad to watch? Just let him sit in the closet with us.
We don't have to publish the video online. You know, no, it's gonna bother you that much.
They're staying in my house. I think they owe me.
That's the toll.
Yeah. Consider it a welcoming gift. Get to know your son-in-law, dude. Nah, man. You know, I'm looking forward to them being in town. It's going to be crowded, though. So.
Wow.
Now, I might be at the bar a lot these nights.
Well, how long are they staying?
Too goddamn long. 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
Like the brother who stayed for 2 weeks, they stretched out to 5 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, me and mom gonna get real close to this. We're gonna do that shit where, you know, I'm gonna be in the kitchen late at night, or she's gonna catch me in the kitchen late at night.
Well, listen, it you might as well make them feel accommodated, because if/when you have a baby, you're gonna want them there.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah, hopefully.
At least the mother.
Oh, hell no. They don't care. Yeah, they got those kids out the house. They ain't even trying to be grandparents. I can tell you that right now. They don't want to see no grandbabies. That's why they're glad she's in America.
Aww. Yeah.
I said, "I don't give a fuck. I'll put that baby in a FedEx box and mail him to your ass." Y'all gonna keep this little son of a bitch one day. One way or another. I like the way Juliana's like, "I need to get the hell out of here." She's like, "Maybe this was a bad idea. Maybe this wasn't a good idea.
I made this decision just watching one episode."
Yeah. I used to watch you guys back when. Oh. Let's go ahead and get into a movie review. I know. It's not the movie review extravaganza. It's on a Sunday. It is not Wednesday. But y'all know how these summers are. These movies start coming out so quickly, so fast, so on top of each other. You got screenings that happen at the same time, not all of his movies.
How many have we done in the middle of the day lately?
Oh, last week we had two on the same day. And just so happens that there was a movie that came out not too long ago. And it was a movie that I just said, it's a small film. Ain't nobody going to really talk about it. Ain't no big deal. Going up against the movies, going up this week, ain't nobody gonna even see it. And no one did see it. But everybody's talking about it.
But the people who saw it can't shut up about it.
Can't shut up about it. They say if you see only one motion picture this summer, try to make it this one. Actually, don't. See something else. But if you see a second movie this summer, try to slip this one in. They say that. Now, and here's the deal. People even say, "I don't even know how this movie got made." I'll give you a little background. Colin Trevorrow.
Is it Trevorrow?
Trevorrow. I don't know. Hell. Yeah, that's, nobody really knows this guy's name yet. Not a full household name, but you know what he's done. Did that Jurassic World 2015. That was the second highest grossing movie that year. Ugh. I know, Martin. I mean, I did not dislike it as much as you did, but I wasn't crazy about it. But I did enjoy it. And I liked it. You know, the T-Rex wrestling match at the end with the Velociraptor. How can you not?
Fist bump.
Yeah. It was the point Donald was like, "Yeah, I got you, man. Yeah, what's up, man?" You know, it was stupid, but it was fun. And people are saying, "Oh, shit. Hey, look. You don't do the second highest grossing movie of the year. The only one to beat it is Star Wars. And then don't get a big project, which just happens to be Star Wars Episode 9.
Right.
Colin Trevorrow is doing Trevorrow, however you say his name. He's doing that. So when he had this script, which he didn't write, but he had this script for this new movie that he wanted to do, and took it up to Hollywood of all places. Now, this ain't no independent shit. Took it to Hollywood and said, hey, you know, I want to do this. Somebody, there was an intern there that said, hey, don't you think we should read that script? You're talking to a man that got dinosaurs and the Force on his side. You don't question that shit. You let him do what he wants to do. He's got carte blanche
right
around him. I mean, what could go wrong?
This guy could film himself taking a shit. It'll be the third highest grossing movie of all time.
And some people said, well, he got half that right with this film here. The movie that we're talking about is Book of Henry.
Our legacy isn't how many commas we have in our bank account. It's who we're lucky enough to have in our lives and what we can leave them with.
Henry, remind me again why we can't put you in a gifted school.
Because it's better for my psychosocial development for me to interact with a peer group in a normal school environment.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I want to fuck you so bad.
Oh, no. I feel bad for this kid.
What, you feel bad for him?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because he's been really good in some movies I like, Incredibly Loud or Very Loud and Incredibly Close. Mm-hmm. And St. Vincent. Loved him in St. Vincent.
Oh, that's a kid in St. Vincent?
Yeah, and he was so cute. But now he's getting older, and his cuteness is starting to go away.
Damn, Mark. I mean, you know, it's not that you're wrong, but you didn't have to put it out there like that.
You just hope they can carry it on through. like the way Haley Joel Osment is back in a lot of stuff, and you just look at him, and you go like, dang, he was so cute as a little boy.
Yeah. Well, that's where we got it right here, because he's entered that gangly phase right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think he'll grow into being handsome.
I mean, he could later. Just right now is that awkward phase.
I like the way Martin just came out and said, I like that kid because he used to be good looking. Now he looks like shit.
Well, I didn't want to use those words in particular. But I mean, he's playing an awkward kid, so it works for him right now.
Oh, I feel so bad for him. He's so ugly. You don't feel bad for him, man. Don't feel bad because he's getting them Book of Henry checks. No, not really. Here's the thing. Because here's the thing with Book of Henry. Book of Henry. It's a movie that everybody's talking about. The reason why they're saying go see it, because everybody's saying it's not just if you see one movie this year. If you see one bad movie this year, make sure that it's this. Because it's one of those bad movies that it's not just bad. It's fucking insane bad. You know, there's so many twists and turns that this movie takes,
yeah,
which have people coming out the theater saying, or at least with a lot of critics, they're like, the fuck was that? And I get it with those critics, because now some of them are saying this is hands down probably one of the worst movies of the year. Not the, you know, the jury's still out on that, but one of the, it's topped up there, one of the worst movies of the year. And I can understand why, because a lot of people saw the trailer and they said the trailer was crazy. We didn't know what to get from it. People put the story together from looking at it. They were kind of close. You got this kid, Henry, who's a genius, who pretty much takes care of the family, and it's kind of works as a family film until he sees something happening next door that puts the movie on a dark turn and makes the movie something completely different by the end. Actually, a few things by the end of the movie. And when I saw this, I said, you know what? Because I already told Martin. I said, hey, Martin. I hinted to him. I said, hey, man, I'm going to see Book of Henry. And Martin pretty much typed in. He said, Godspeed, which translation means fuck you. I ain't seeing that. So I said, I ain't seen this shit by myself. I'll tell you that much. Thank God we got an intern. I said, you get your ass up in the morning and go watch this. Y'all don't give a fuck if you don't review it or anything. So I ain't watching this shit alone by myself. And plus, if it's as crazy as it sounds, I don't want Martin sitting up here saying, oh, man, can't be that crazy. I want somebody here to back me up. Juliana, why don't you come on up? All right. Yes. Come on up here. Juliana, our new intern. How you doing? Don't come over here and sit by me. I like my space. Go sit over. Sit over there. Well, my personal space. Yeah, yeah, it's on over there. Let me go ahead and get you in camera. How you doing, Juliana?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh.
Still good after seeing a movie?
Yeah, less good than I think I could have been, but I'm doing all right. I'm still here. I'm still alive.
Yeah, it's move in just a little bit, Julianne. Just a move little. In. There you go. And with this movie, it's not a full blown. Now Transformers, that's a full blown explosive crazy. What the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. Not this right here. This is a very quiet, slow, and steady film. And I would even say for a lot of it, you're sitting up there smiling, you're nodding your head, and you even kind of going with it. What's that?
It tricks you.
It kind of tricks you because you're sitting up there and it's like, I don't see what everybody was. What the fuck just happened? it catches you. Now, I have to say that, you know what? That's kind of cool because it's a genuine twist. It ain't really marketing a twist. It ain't trying too hard. It's just naturally doing something that makes you like, what the fuck just happened right
there? Well, I know I've seen from the trailers. It looks like a quiet, not a family film so much, but more of a drama. And then I see Naomi Watts with a sniper rifle.
Yeah, that's what got people like,
what's going on right here?
Well, here's the thing with the movie, man. It's like, it wants to be a kid's film. Okay. And when it starts out, you soon realize, like, this is, soon after the credits start, it has a feel like the Goonies. And it's like you're watching the Goonies, but it's the Goonies mashed together with Rear Window. And it's the Goonies if one of the Goonies didn't go on a treasure adventure or anything like that. He tried to solve a rape case.
Okay.
And the movie starts out so much like a kid's movie. It's got Henry playing with his little brother. They're doing it in a way where it feels like not just a kid's movie, but a cartoon. They got plungers, and they're playing with each other, crossing the floor. And every time that plunger goes, like, and it's like, man, okay, this is really lighthearted right here. You know, and it's also one of those kids' movies where they got that treehouse that never existed in anybody's backyard.
Sure, especially something like that.
That's a fantasy kids' movie right there.
Yeah, because it would take thousands to build that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. First of all, I ain't never seen a treehouse in my life. I thought treehouses were something that just existed in movies.
In movies, yeah.
If I'd asked my dad to build me a treehouse, any of my friends would be like, you got a goddamn house. You better get the fuck out of here with that. I'm paying a mortgage. You asking for a fucking house and a tree. I thought white kids had treehouses. I would go to my white friends. I'm like, man, why don't I want a fucking house and a tree? You see my house? My house is nice. The fuck I want that for? And this is not just a treehouse. In this movie, that is a house.
Yeah.
That shit would be on the market for $500,000.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Because I got that show, Tiny House, on TLC or, one of those channels.
Yeah.
Yeah, where people pay tens of thousands of dollars for one of those.
Yeah. House. This is a fucking honeycomb hideout right here. You know,
they also were insinuating that he, like, was the one who built it. And it's like, okay, this kid's smart, but he's what, 11?
He's 11.
11?
Henry is 11.
I could barely tie my shoes. Like, no, I could tie my shoes. But like the insinuation that like, oh, this is just part of his mind, this creation. I was just like, this is too much.
No.
I mean, granted, he's a genius. He could figure out how to do it, but not
it
how
was
to.
Like a door from an old time fire truck.
What's what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how he would get over all those materials.
No, exactly. unless he's a kleptomaniac or something too, yeah, and just going around town stealing
like, hey,
shit.
Listen, why don't you put some of that energy towards helping me pay this mortgage?
Yeah, it's a fucking better house than they live in out there, and that's just his hanging house.
He's like Snoopy.
And when you go in there, that shit is like the Doctor Who TARDIS and shit. Right. Shit is a mansion when you go in. This shit is already kind of stupid, but they say, you know what? They say, yeah, it's a fantasy, sure, but when you get into the movie, that treehouse, that's the least of it. Because Henry is such a genius. Henry does everything. None of these adults in this town are near the man or the adult that Henry is. Henry, and that's one of the things that really brings the movie down is how smart Henry is. Henry's a family accountant.
Hey, Susan? I guess I could just set you up with direct deposit if that's easier.
I don't know. I'll have to ask Henry.
You have to ask your 11-year-old?
Did our finance...
Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, I forgot to give it to you.
And now Henry's all like, you fucking adults, man. He's like, he's always got this look on his face like, if I wasn't taking care of this family, they would be dead.
Right.
They overcompensated a lot, too. Like, they had the mom doing, like childish things that you're like, you're a single mother of two kids. Like,
yeah.
Why are you letting your kid do your taxes and your like credit report while you're
playing video games.
Fucking around on the video
games. Yeah, like, fucking around on video games. She's playing video games.
A lot of it. It was a lot.
And meanwhile, she's playing video games while Henry's just not doing the finances. Henry is killing it at the stock market. Killing it at the stock market, man. Even tells her, like, we ain't got to work. She's like, oh, but I like to keep busy. Why? Because, well, you do everything in the house. But it don't stop there. Henry is a private detective. He goes around town. He doesn't take any cases, but he's doing shit that detectives do. I'm sure if he wanted to, he could solve more cases than the police department. And he might as well be part of the faculty at his school, because they don't treat him like a student. They treat him like another teacher. Like, if something ain't happening that Henry don't like, or something happening that Henry don't like, he'll bust down the principal's office. God damn it, Janice! This is not going to fly! And Janice is like, oh shit, my hands are tied, Henry. It's like, wow. Is this the Twilight Zone? This kid is just running the fucking town?
Can I tell you something? You guys are actually selling me on this movie right now.
Man, no!
That's the trick, though. That's the trick. It sets it up like it's going to be like this reasonably tolerable family movie about this extraordinary kid, and then it's just not. And not in so many ways.
And I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad I'm selling you on this shit. Because I'm happy that this shit exists. It's some shit that just Hollywood every now and then gets it right, even when they get it wrong. You know, this is some shit that Tommy Wiseau would do. This is some shit that dude that did Fateful Findings would do.
Uh-huh.
But somehow it found a Hollywood budget. And I'm amazed at it. If I'm selling you on this right now, if she's selling you on this right now,
yeah, both of y'all.
Oh, Martin.
I'm like, this sounds like a fun movie. I want
to
see it.
You ain't going to make it to this review. You're going to run out and get your ticket before it's done.
Yeah, hurry up so I can go buy a ticket. I might catch the last show.
There are so many things here that I should not like about this. Because Henry, I hate that whole thing of the genius being good at everything.
Sure.
And he's that precocious genius where, you know, that precocious kid where I know more than anybody, any adult right here. And the reason why that's so bad is because that's just they do that for cheap laughs. You know, most of the laughs in the movie come from him being so smart and being like, look at these dumbass adults right here. You know, and that means that the adults, they don't have any development because they're just there to be stupid. Sure. Just so Henry can look good. And we can just get some cheap laughs from that situation.
Maybe there's a chemical plant in their town.
Well, it is almost like, okay, is Henry really a genius? Or is there some supernatural shit going on right here? Like, is he a superhero? Did they have, like, toxic waste fall on his bicycle or some shit?
Well, I just meant it's making all the adults dumb. Or just lead in the water.
No, because Henry knows how to do everything. Mm. No, Henry's a certified genius. You know, it's and you hit it right there. Like, they try too hard with that, because while mom, you know, they want to set up that such a dynamic that the characters, the adult characters, they don't have. They're flat. They don't have any kind of dimension to them. Mm-hmm. They don't have any depth to them. Like she said, and thank you for mentioning it. Naomi Watts is the mom. Who's using a vibrator pan on this picture right here? Well, I got time. Henry does everything. Yes, shit, Henry might have built that vibrator.
He built it himself.
No, mom. You can do much better than this. But, yeah, they want to set up this dynamic that we already got that thing. That mom is not the most mature one in the house. We don't need mom playing Gears of War while Henry's doing finances. We don't need it hit that hard that, oh, look. Man, the adult is the child. The child is the adult. It's like, man, that theme could have been delivered without her having to sit down and be like a 14-year-old.
It was definitely overkill because, like, you could have gotten. I felt like you could have gotten the message of him being a genius without having to dumb her down that much. Like, there were a couple moments where I was just like, this is, like, embarrassing. I can't decide if you're, like, a good mother or a bad mother just based on how you're acting. Like, you're just.
Well,
she's a bad mother.
She's
looking at the financial reports and going like, I don't understand any of that. It's like, you're still the adult. You should at least try.
Yeah. I mean, he even tells her, he tries to say, I don't even know if this line was written badly. They didn't know. It was a misstep. But there's a point where Henry tells her, he's trying to teach her how to do finances on a computer. And he's like, all right, mom, show me what I just showed you. She's like, don't talk to me like I'm a child. And Henry's like, what the fuck? Are you serious? He's like, I'm looking like this. I'm like, bitch, for real? After all this shit I've done and you playing video games, all of a sudden, don't talk to you like you're a child? And the other adults in here, like, you have Sarah Silverman. She's in the movie.
Right.
She's just there for comedy relief, really.
Okay.
And even her comedy, their comedy is, she has a thing going on. Smart ass dialogue with each other. You know, this banter where I'm going to say something shitty to you and you're going to say something shitty to me. And pretty much that's the extent of her character.
Hank. It's actually Henry. I think you'd be able to retain at least one simple name somewhere beyond that haircut.
Nice goggles. They go well with your misshapen head.
Don't you two start already.
Fuck you. But they go further with this. The depth that they do give these adults, they want to be so cute with this movie. They want to be so family friendly with even the darkest material in here that they end up making light of some serious things. They introduce in the movie, and this is not an exaggeration, in the movie, Sarah Silverman, they hint that she has that she has a drinking problem. In the film, she's actually drunk off her ass, and they even insinuate that the mom might be the one that is causing much of the damage.
Because I've had a hell of a day, and Sheila and I are just gonna hang out a little, okay?
They're gonna get so drunk right now.
And they do. And they get so drunk that Sarah Silverman, there's a point where she wakes up and she's passed out on a bench, almost missing work. Uh-huh. You know, head wobbling and shit. Where am I?
Like on a bench outside somewhere?
It's outside somewhere. I think it's in her yard. But she just fell asleep out, never made it home.
Oh.
And they're saying, you know, mom, you're enabling her. You know, you're giving her, you're not helping her drinking problem. And it's played off like, fuck, Henry, lighten up. Have a drink. You know, it's like, they don't say that, but it's kind of like, yeah, fuck Henry, come on, you know. And they go back to drinking, and they don't say another fucking word about her drinking problem. And they not only do they introduce it and leave it alone, but they make fun of it. They make light of it. If you think I'm being too serious, you saw it. Am I being too harsh here?
The scene was like, it was so crazy when it played out. Because literally, yeah, she's trashed, falling asleep on like a bench in her yard. Bottle crate, like cradled to her face. and she's like, you know, what was her name in it, Sarah Silverman? I don't remember.
Drunkie.
She was like, you know, you missed work. I covered for you. And she was like, oh, well, let's have a drink then since we're both off. And she was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Her kids are like, mom, that's probably not the best idea. She's like, go wait in the car. Like,
and yeah, it's kind of like,
it was messed up.
I'll lighten up. It's comedy relief. Hardy har. I'm like, I can't believe this shit. I can't believe what they're doing with this. Okay. And even then, the movie keeps you on your toes by getting unpredictable, because it's at this point, like I said, where they start to do a Rear Window thing. So happens that they got this new girl at school and she's having problems. That's why Henry got so mad, because Henry saw that she's, no other adult, by the way, notices this. I want to acknowledge it, but Henry's the one talking about, don't y'all see bruises on this chick? Don't y'all see how she's withdrawn and reacting? And nobody wants to do anything. So Henry's like, oh, fuck, man, I'm on the case. You know, Henry on the case. There was even a part where Henry saw a dude beating up his girlfriend in the store. You thought Henry was going to pull his shirt back with a big H on it. Be like, turn to a superhero. And it's like, why not? Super Henry. He does every fucking thing else. But Henry's like, okay, well, it's a good thing that this girl lives right next door. So I can spy on her and figure out what's going on. And even, and it's not something where it's just abuse. It's something where they insinuate that this is pedophilia going on.
Ooh.
That this dude, and it's Dean Norris who plays the father. Oh, I'm sorry. He plays the stepfather.
Oh, it's always got to be the stepfather.
Because, you know, if it was the real father, then we couldn't get that PG-13 rating into this nice, wholesome family film that we got. Out of all this crazy shit that goes on, they say, oh, hold on, you don't think we can get any further. And this is where it's going to be a little bit of a spoiler. So please don't go any further if you don't want to spoil it for Book of Henry, because this is a spoiler review.
I want you to tell me the whole movie.
This, right when Henry's about to make leeway on getting to this case of the sexual abused neighbor, he gets a tumor.
Oh, it was really sad.
He gets a tumor in his head.
It came out of nowhere, but it was so sad.
It came out of nowhere. It's just he got through doing some. He was about to crack the case. He's like, I earned this sleep this night. And in the middle of the night, Mom, his little brother, Mom, and they go to the bedroom and Henry's on the floor. Aww. He's got convulsions and shit. He's down there shaking, and they take him to the hospital. And Henry's like, "Give it to me straight, Doc." And they and he has a tumor. And
Lee
it's
Pace.
What's that?
Lee Pace.
Lee Pace.
That's the actor of who played the doctor.
Oh, okay, Lee Pace.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a condition.
Yes. Tumor.
He had Lee Pace.
He got Lee Pace.
Oh, and then. What's so funny about that is that they tell Henry, they say, look.
You're going to die.
And they don't want to say it at first because they want to break it to him gently. But Henry's like, look, man, give it to me straight, Doc. I can take it because, of course, Henry's smarter than the doctor. Uh-huh. He's doing his diagnosis to the doctor. And he's like, hey, look, Doc, it's all right. And he tells his mom, and they spend the rest of this movie in a real heavy-handed fashion, or at least the rest of the movie that we have with Henry. With Mom crying, the little brother crying, them laying on real thick, oh, poor Henry, right up to the really corny death with Henry. I just want to see the sky, the sunshine.
I couldn't believe it. There was so much buildup, and then all of a sudden, yeah, he starts freaking out. Wakes up. It's like, oh, I just want to see. Let me see the moon. I have to see the sky. At first, I thought he was freaking out. Like, maybe he went blind or something. Like, okay, is this going to be like a gradual death, or is it going to just happen? Well, it just happens. Because he turns over in his mother's arms and goes,
yeah.
And they, literally
Rosebud.
Man, yeah. Pedophilia. What did he mean by that? But yeah, they they actually gave him the that little hand Happy goes arm. Down. And I'm gonna tell you something. All the crazy shit I'm saying with you, all the crazy shit that you hear, you're saying, I want to see this. I was with it. I did not go into this saying that, man, I want to see the worst movie of the year. No, I went in to say, is it really as bad as people are talking about? And up until that point, I said, it's not good. And there's definitely some terrible moments. However, I was admiring this movie. I was respecting it for going in all these crazy different directions.
Sure.
I'm always trying to hold Hollywood accountable. I was like, you know what? Doing the same old shit. You're doing all these formulas. Give us something different. And I can tell you, for everything that might have been crazy and shitty in this movie, it was unpredictable.
Uh-huh.
It kept me on my toes, man. And I was admiring. I was like, go on, Colin, do your thing. Don't let him talk. Don't let him talk shit about you, man.
You got this.
You got this. Go on, boy. Let him talk shit about you. I got your back. But when Henry died, when he looked up in that sky and that little hand fell, everything that was good about this movie went with him. Cause the boy in this movie. Now I know you're talking about my man. Yeah, he got a little case of Gollum going on right there. But the thing with
I like that kid a lot.
No. Jaden Lieberer is his name. And as Henry, I don't like the type he plays, but I thought that he was very good.
Mm-hmm.
For an 11-year-old kid embodying the maturity of an adult who has all that responsibility, nailed it with that kid, man. That kid was amazing. He's so amazing that he was the one holding this movie down. I don't know if you agree or not.
No, I totally agree. I thought... Like, there were times where I'm like, okay, you're playing the typical, like, too smart for everybody else kid, but he was playing it really well. Like, he was endearing, and I liked him, and, yeah, he did a great job, I thought.
Yeah, yeah, I thought
agreeance.
Yeah, no, I thought that he was great, man. And I thought that, you know, once he was gone, it was obvious that the movie was revolving around him, and everything that was good about it was him, regardless of all the stupid shit that goes on. But once the movie takes a dark turn, once the movie becomes this dark film, it's too much of a cute movie and a family film to try to be as dark as it wants to be. Now, during this part of the movie where after Henry dies, it gets extremely dark. And it takes it's so wild right here that this should be the best part of the movie, because when Henry's gone, it turns out that Henry left a journal for his mother or anybody he can trust. Since his work couldn't be completed on how to take care of the situation with the neighbor,
okay,
he wrote a journal with every detail,
instructions.
On instructions on how to not only break the case but kill the neighbor, because the neighbor is the police chief, and he has the police chief. He, you know, he ain't nobody gonna go after him.
Right.
He's got the town on lock. So he says the only way to stop this dude is to kill him. And I left detailed instructions on how to do it. This should be the most batshit insane part of the movie that makes this movie great. You know what I mean? It should be so insane that we should have even a better movie before Henry died. But it's at this point that everything that was wrong with the movie gets worse. And some things even happened early in the movie that seemed like it was setting up for something good is also revealed to be bad. For starters, in this, there's a point in the movie where, since Henry's gone, not only did he leave a journal, but he also left the audio book version of it. So now his mom puts on headphones and he talks her through everything.
Mom, everything you need is right here. I'll be with you the whole time.
But,
well, it seemed like from the setup up to this point, his mom wasn't someone you would consider a reader to begin with.
Oh, no.
He wrote it all down and then went back and went, you know what? Let me just go ahead and record this now. Yeah. She's not going to read.
Yeah, she ain't going to read this shit. Yeah, wrote all this shit down. I can't make a video game about this. This is quick, so might as well just put the audio version in there. But what's so funny about it is that he knows his mother so well that everything that he records, he also records responses in anticipation on how she's going to react. So it's almost like Henry's never been dead. It's to a point where it gets so stupid. It's at a point where
that's maybe more than I can bite on.
Oh man, it gets to a point where she has a sniper rifle that she bought illegally, and she's ready to take the guy out next door. And there's even a point where he recorded like, "All right, mom, go ahead and take the shot." A pause. Come on, mom, take the shot. God damn it, take the shot. Am I lying?
No, and I was sitting there and I was like, this kid is 11. I don't care if he's a bastard, if he's a mastermind genius, he's literally egging his mom on to commit murder. You could do it, ma. Come on. Just line it up. Deep breaths. And I was like,
how he would know that she's going to hesitate. All right, I better scream at her at this point because I can just see her dumbass not taking the shot. And knowing that Dean Norris is going to be passing right at this moment. If I calculate this out, this algebraic equation and this algorithm, he should be passing right by. She's going to miss. She's not going to take the shot, but he'll come back around in about 3 seconds. So that's when I'll yell at him.
No, man, they actually have a point where they do that through the whole thing where – That's the silliest part. But this part's where she's walking and he's like, "All right, mom, take a left here." "No, mom, your other left." You know, he's one step ahead of her.
I can fix this.
What, she's crazy?
No, he's not really dead. He's somewhere hiding. He faked his death. And he's transmitting this.
Well, Martin, that would just spoil things, wouldn't it? But you have some things got to leave you to yourself.
Okay.
And that whole thing about him being a detective and they're setting up things. Yeah, he's going around town playing Detective Henry, and that whole thing about him being
Encyclopedia Brown.
Yeah, it really is. It was Encyclopedia Brown, the case of the rape, you know. And this whole thing where his mom bought this illegal weapon. Well, before, when I was telling him he was a detective, turns out that he went to a gun store because we didn't know what he was doing. We were like, man, what's this mysterious thing that Henry's doing? He goes to a gun store and just happens to sneak in randomly right at the moment that there's an illegal gun transaction going on. Oh, and that's why he's writing notes about it. So in his journal, he's like, "Well, mom, if you want to buy a sniper gun illegally, I just happen to know how to do it." So
okay.
It's these plot holes, these laps of stupid logic that happened in the movie that where we were kind of letting it pass before. Nah, not now. No, it's just these things are too glaring.
You think they got to a point where they're like, well, listen, if you let it slide this long, then this little bit extra ain't going to be that much.
Oh, no, not when they just got dumb with it. I mean, it was kind of like, okay, you're taking liberties.
You let me stick in the tip, so.
No. I mean, if you want to stick it all the way in, it goes out your ear or something, yeah. We want to talk about that kind of stupid, but this is, Martin, I'm telling you, it gets worse. This whole thing that they have for her to do, and this is where the movie, this is why a lot of critics are probably mad. This whole thing where she's going to kill this neighbor next door. They try to do some Hitchcock tension setting up by having the whole thing be done while in the background there's a talent show going on at the school. An elementary school talent show.
Okay.
Yeah. You want to know how that's set up?
Is it part of her alibi?
It's part of her alibi, but also they try to set up the rhythm to build up tension with parts of the talent. Because during this talent show, it's just by being a talent show in a movie. They do a lot of the really bad cliches now that you see with a talent show.
Sure.
Anytime a talent show comes up in a movie now, what you're going to have is you're going to have that unsuspecting, goofy white kid who comes up and raps.
Right.
And drops the mic.
Right.
Which is insulting because all the black kids are like in the background of the movie, except for that one black kid, this black girl who has to get up. And being as a black girl, she has to sing an old Negro spiritual.
Oh.
She sings Amazing Grace.
I knew it.
Yes. I fucking knew it. She's singing it back. Amazing Grace. And why are they doing that? Because while she's singing Amazing Grace, Mom is setting up her shot. And it's like, get it? This is a deep soul searching defining moment for her. And fuck that talent show because they, as a whole, man. You can tell I lost every talent show I was in, but this is an elementary school talent show. Why we got 12 and 13 year olds doing this, I don't know. It's so childish that they got one kid who gets up and just burps. They got other kids who get up there and do some stupid shit. But our victim, Christina here, this girl who's, I forgot who the actress is.
Maddie something.
Maddie Ziegler. First of all, they make sure, it's almost insulting how they do this, offensive how they do this, because they want her to stand out from the other kids so much that they got her in so much makeup that she looks like she's 21. Mm-hmm. She don't look like a little girl. It kind of looks like a woman. And they did that to make her stand out, because when she's in class, everybody just looks retarded. It's one of those, she looks so mature, Henry's so mature, that all the other kids sitting in class with the mouth open and yeah. And during this talent show, you got all this dumb shit going on with all these kids that have no talent. But when Christina gets up, Christina does this beautiful dance, ballet dance, that rivals any dance company troupe, or at least any girl who's in college that's at a dance academy.
Right.
And her dance is so beautiful that it makes the principal tear up with joy. And also was the principal that didn't believe Henry about the bruises. And it's at this moment she's like, I really should let someone know.
I was waiting for that dance scene because Maddie, what was her last name?
Ziegler.
Ziegler is a dancer. She was from Dance Moms, and she's like the one. She's in all like of Sia's music videos and like all that stuff. So she's a good dancer. I was like, this bitch is gonna get a dance scene in this movie. I'm waiting for it. And then it was that. And then the principal's literally like, she is being abused by like the pain and the passion in her dance. And that's when she goes to the police. And I was like, is this for real? This has been weeks that a kid came to you.
That principal would go to jail.
That principal been told for weeks by Henry. It's like, that's when he came. He's like, God damn it. She's got bruises. She's mentally withdrawn.
Also,
you're not going to do
her
anything.
Neighbor.
But such a beautiful dance.
Yeah, the minute the principal finally reported that, their question would be, how long have you known about this?
Yeah.
Well, it was mentioned to me by this kid about a year ago.
Well, Henry's dead, so she has it off. She's got a hook. She's off the hook on that one.
You just say like, oh, I don't know. Yeah. I just heard about it.
But all this common sense shit that she's been told, but this wonderful dance right here, I realize now that this girl is hurting
inside.
And while Mom is setting up, they also got a tap dance sequence going on. I'm like, wow, man. This shit is bad. Bad,
bad.
So is it a beat the clock, kill the neighbor, and get back to the talent show before anybody notices
she has a timer.
That she's been gone?
Yes.
Yes. Exactly, Martin. Exactly, Martin. And even during that last moment, she's about to pull the trigger. Like I said, all this dark material, it doesn't work because the movie's trying to be so cute through the whole thing. It's one thing to go in there and say, I want to try something different in tone and switch my tones around. But you cannot be this family film this with these really the worst of Hallmark movie cliches and try to pull this off. Because even at the moment where Naomi Watts is about to pull the trigger, they still do some Home Alone shit. They got a Rube Goldberg machine.
Yeah,
that
I saw that. A Rube Goldberg machine going on.
Yeah. He's got his fucking steampunk shit going on. I mean, it's like there's Home Alone shit going on in here. And this is right up during the darkest moments of the movie.
Oh, okay.
And the thing that really kills the darkest parts of the film is that your villain is not for a pedophile. He's not creepy. He's not scary. He's not threatening. He's not even conflicted or a complex person. Dean Norris, who plays him, his whole thing about being a bad guy in this movie, a pedophile and child abuser, is just to look suspicious and hunch over and squint his eyes a lot.
Hey, Glenn. You must be excited about the talent show.
Oh, yeah. I confess, I get a little impatient at things like that. I thought Janie's mom was taking you.
Jenna. They're out of town that week.
Well, I'm happy to take her.
I'll pick her up.
Great.
Mrs. Carpenter?
Sweetie, please. Susan?
Of course.
Henry and Peter? They're lucky to have you.
Thank you. And your father's lucky to have you, too.
Stepfather.
Oh, fuck you too. You know, the girl might as well just say rapist. You know?
That's the most she says in that entire movie also.
Really?
For the person who's like, if not the second most focal point throughout the thing, she barely, I feel like, said anything at all.
Yeah.
Like that was the most she said.
That's interesting that she said she was on Dance Moms.
Yeah, you know, she's like the prodigy of them. She like, cause she's so successful and such a good dancer. Like, she's the favorite.
So that scene really was crowbarred in there then. All right. Like, makes sense.
It's her first movie, so I guess they were just trying to like weigh the options of like, okay, does she have talent outside of dancing? But I feel like they didn't even give her an opportunity because she said 10 words. Like,
yeah.
She was barely in it.
I mean, maybe she said 40 when they looked at it.
Maybe.
Tell you what, why don't you just dance?
dance and be abused.
That dance number wasn't even in there until they heard her saying her lines.
Yeah.
I guess Dean Norris is one of those guys. He's only going to ever play cops.
Yeah. Hey, if I'm not a good cop, I'm a child molester, abusive cop. You know, I really did want to give this a benefit of the doubt. What was this kind of like, man, this is not good, but I'm giving this a kind of a matinee or at least an enthusiastic rental just based on how you're trying to be different. Nah, this is some old bullshit. This takes a quick turn into that area. And like I said, it's the only person that was making it good was that actor who played Henry. And once he's gone, everything that's wrong with the movie comes out. And it's too bad because a lot of you people in here are doing the best. Naomi Watts, she's actually good in the movie, but they're so busy making fun of her. She's having a mental breakdown in the movie where she's about to harm her child. Her child, she says, you know, fuck it. We're just going to eat sweets and desserts for the rest of the week. She's about to give this kid diabetes.
Dang.
Played up for laughs. Like they never go in and address her going through a PTSD or whatever with this trauma of her child dying. Like they never did with Sarah Silverman and her alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a baffling movie and how insulting it is in so many ways, too, with serious problems that go on. Which is why even if I did think that this was somewhat funny and how bad it is, they don't treat some of the serious subjects in here with any kind of real seriousness or urgency that they should be treated with. What do you think?
No, I completely agree. I think the first half I was pleasantly surprised by how, like, because, like, the things that were happening and the, like, twists or just the way things were being acted out, I was like, okay, these actors are doing a pretty good job. The kid's doing a good job. You know, I'm not angry at where things are going. But then, yeah, once he died, it was just like, it went in so many different directions and it didn't know how to handle the, like, drastic tone shifts that it was trying to do. And it just fell apart. I didn't think it. The second half ruins the whole thing for me.
Yeah, what would you rate it?
Well, I was at first going to give it a matinee based on the first half, but yeah, I'm between like a rental and some old bullshit because it was just like...
Pick one.
I'm in between. Because it's not the worst thing I've ever seen, but it was definitely like, you had the opportunity to do something better.
We don't do no tweens around here, Juliana. You got to pick one.
Some old bullshit.
Curious. Why would you even lean towards a rental?
Because I want to, because the first half isn't that bad. So I want to give it some kind of like semblance that like if you don't care about finishing a movie, then yes, watch the first half. But
you get to a certain point and you turn it off.
It's
okay.
But it really is. It's just bad.
First lesson of your internship.
Give it to me.
Give no pity fucks.
Okay.
You know, go in. Go in on something.
Okay.
Yeah, no, don't be soft. Okay. And there's a hard business here. This business will tear you apart. Okay. Got to be hard.
Yeah, Mr. Tie Time.
That's different. I tied bullshit. Awesome. Some old bullshit.
Well, then I firmly give it some old bullshit.
All right.
Don't firm. See it.
Firm. Yeah, that shit came out firm. Nice. All right.
My fist.
I don't know. I want to see it now.
Wait till the comment. No,
turn it off after.
You really do have to see it to believe it, but don't go out your way.
Okay.
No. You just let it happen.
All right. <You know? laughs>
Let the movie like sexually violate you. Just let it happen, Martin. Just lay down. Don't turn the channel when it comes on. Shh. Just go with it. Now you are a female.
I think. Am.
Okay. Now let me ask you something here. Yeah. Are you a fan of the Pitch Perfect?
Yes.
Okay. Big fan?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm gonna let you stick around then.
Okay.
Now, me and your Uncle Martin, we're about to talk some shit. Okay. We don't want to hurt your feelings or hurt your little Pitch Perfect movies feelings, anything. But I'm giving you a chance for an out. So if you want to stick around, go ahead.
Okay.
You good?
I'm gonna stick.
You gonna stick?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if you gonna stick, y'all get closer. Yeah, you gonna be all right. Let me move this down a little bit. You gonna be here for a few weeks, so you know, get close. Get to know your Uncle Martin over there. She is faster. She's like a cat like, with a mic.
I feel like Sigourney Weaver, the alien. And she's like,
close your eyes, baby. Now, the reason why I'm saying this, because I don't know if you knew this, but they just released the trailer for Pitch Perfect 3.
Yes, I did know.
Okay. Did you see it?
No. I saw it on Facebook like right before I started to head out to come here, so I didn't read the thing or watch it.
So which one do you like better, one or two?
One.
Definitely. Yeah. And we're going to talk about two.
You don't know that. She might have liked two better.
I know her already. She's my intern. That's the first part of the job. Well, I know your intern. Yes. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to watch the trailer for Pitch Perfect 3.
Okay.
And then we're going to come back and go into depth with this to see, is this going to be the quality of the first film, at least what we think is the most quality one, or it's going to lean towards more the second one, which we did not like at all.
But made tons more money.
But made tons. I mean, we're doing like the box office reports. That shit would not go away.
It would not.
I almost went to the doctor to kill my case of Pitch Perfect 2. Give me a cream for this shit or something. Pitch Perfect 3.
It's a camera on us.
She's right there. The Barton Bell is an unlikely group of not men who somehow managed to win at something that didn't have to do with baking.
I can hear you.
They've graduated college, have spread their wings, and are attempting to fly.
Papaya Blair's delight with a shot of white privilege.
Hopefully not becoming the failures we all expect them to be.
I feel really good about where I'm at right now. I'm trying to get into vet school. Fingers crossed.
Where are they now?
My name is Fat Amy Winehouse, so let's get cracking.
I quit my job.
You got fired?
No, I quit. It's fine.
Oh, come on. This is an overreaction.
I would do anything to sing with you guys again. Anything. You guys, every year the USO puts on this performance to support the troops in Europe. What if I could get us an invite?
Yeah, I've suddenly got a bunch of free time, so... Hell yeah! Never competed against bands that actually have instruments, so what's the plan?
Aww, you guys just sing other people's songs, like karaoke.
Karaoke? No.
I was just gonna say that. was just going to say that.
That's why I never got this series, man. I'm just like, they just do a fucking karaoke without the machine. It's like, y'all couldn't even afford that.
Calamity, this is Serenity, Veracity, and Charity.
If I joined your group, I could be Obesity.
It's actually funny.
Another day on stage for the Bellas. This is their big plummet.
Their fade out.
Into nothingness.
You sure about this?
Have I ever let you down?
All the time.
What?
You're very unreliable. It's like one of the hallmarks of your personality.
You're not remembering all the times I've been awesome.
Let Taka finish this.
Yes!
Try to have some dignity.
Yeah, well, we don't do anything with dignity, okay?
They really do need to join the workforce.
Yes.
All right, you know something. I'm trying to be fair to your Pitch Perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, Juliana, she loves this series right there.
But as most girls her age do.
I know, you're 21, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you know what, Juliana? Let me start out being fair right here. Because I do like the premise that they got going on here. And also, let me be fair, I never saw Pitch Perfect 1.
Oh, seriously?
What? I never saw it. Never saw it. I hate Pitch Perfect, too.
Sure.
I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, the first one's not bad.
That's what I hear.
It's like Bring It On. Where you go in going like, a movie about cheerleaders, why would I care? And then you're like, oh, wow, this is actually funny, and I like what's going on here. It's very much like that.
Okay. Yeah. And you know what? Not having seen Pitch Perfect 1 and then looking at this one, it does look different from the first one. And the way it stands out right now, I like the way they always had a sense of humor, and these girls were able to make fun of themselves and, you know, just pretty much make these girls look dumb. I mean, that's what they did a lot. And I admired that more than I thought I would in a second, even though I don't like that movie. But this one, I like the way they saying, you know what? Without singing, these girls ain't shit. You know, these girls ain't got nothing. They even saying, like, with talent, that don't mean shit.
It doesn't.
Yeah, so you can sing, but you still got your hand up a bull's ass right now. So, hey, so much for your life. I love that poster in this scene right here, too. When I first saw it, one of the things that made me laugh. Look, like they stuck some of that dog's ass. That dog like, woo! But I like that aspect of it, but I don't think this trailer is meeting the potential of what they could do with that premise. And it was early on. Mm-hmm. Because early on in the trailer, boy, your girl Rebel Wilson, she ain't even trying no more. I look at her and this ain't everything just fat.
My name is Fat Amy Winehouse, so let's get cracking.
Is that even a joke? That's not even a joke. I'm like just stating an obvious thing. You know,
it's weird because I kept reading stuff about how she lost all this weight.
I didn't know. I did too.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Maybe it happened after this movie. Or maybe she gained it back for the movie. Maybe, you know,
like,
I don't know.
Well, we can't have a fat Amy who's not fat. No.
Yeah.
Either you're going to get to eat, or we got to recast.
Yeah. She ate just to make a fat Amy Winehouse joke. All that progress to come in and make fucking fat jokes. That's like me walking on stage and be like, hey, I'm black.
I'm Black Corey.
I'm Black Corey. Yeah, you are. Well, what's the fucking joke? and I was willing to let that one slide, but they kept doing it in the movie.
If I joined your group, I could be Obesity.
She's wearing a Make America Eat Again hat.
That's too much.
It's just.
I like that joke as much. It fits in with the rest of their name. It points out how ridiculous
those names are. Yeah, but at the expense of her. Hey, I'm fat.
Yeah,
you know. I know. Poor Rebel Wilson, she just gave up. She just comes out now. She's just like, yeah, I'm fat. And people just start laughing.
By the way, I'm fat, y'all.
Yeah. Hey, that's too happy. It's just, I'm fat.
Well, she don't seem sad about it.
People just throwing food in her face and shit. I mean, it's sad that it's got to this point where she's like that. Shit, even the movie thinks it's sad. Even the movie's like, come on, Rebel.
try to have some dignity.
You know, I was like, wow. Is that a reference to what we just saw earlier? Because it fits. I was disappointed in that because I'm not trying to get on some fat shaming platform, social justice platform, but I don't like that kind of thing. Is I'm fat. You know, if you can do something clever with it, that's cool. But if it's just like, yeah, get your fat ass out there and just stand there for a laugh. To me, that's, I don't know, that's kind of problematic.
Well,
I
think its premise is that she's choosing to do that. Like she might even be ad-libbing it for all we know. It's like,
definitely.
Yeah, it's like when you listen to trap music.
Which I don't. So don't throw me in there, brother.
It's like, well, if she's saying it, then either it's all right or she's saying it to make you feel uncomfortable.
Okay, I got you there. Glad you brought it up, brother. the reason why, and I tell you why. We want to bring rap into it. It's like when I say, hey, I'm tired of them just saying nigga for no real effective reason.
Right.
I don't like black comedians come out, black people do this. Yeah. Do, 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 do. You know? Actually, that's a white person that does that. But, you know, white people do that. You know, I think it's not a matter of me being offended, which I am slightly kind of offended by, but it's just lazy. How you feel about your Pitch Perfect now, Juliana?
Well, I think I saw the second one when it came out, and I was like, I was disappointed in the sense that it didn't have the same like good story, I guess, as the first one. Mm-hmm. It was more just for like us seeing those laughs that got us the first time of like, oh, the girls are being really homoerotic together, and like they just amped that up in the second one too.
Yeah.
Like every other scene, they were making a joke about making out or being like whatever, and I was like, wow, they're laying it on thick in this one. I mean, the third one, I don't know if I'm going to see it just because it seems like it's the same exact lazy story of just like, oh, they don't believe in us. We've got to go to the big competition and we've got to win. And it's like, girls, this has been your entire, this has been 5 years of your life now. If you're done with college, like,
yeah,
keep your job, like get a real, yeah, you should
oh
not
my
be
God,
like,
you so nailed it the whole like, time. Like, yeah, you know, I'm sticking my hand in a bull's ass. I'm like, that's a career you signed up for.
That's,
you're actually way ahead of a lot of people who want to be vets.
Yeah, here, like, why are you frowning?
That's
like,
kind of a good job right
yeah.
there. I mean,
yeah.
you know, I mean, the way to go to like just simplify it to putting your hand up a bull's ass, but that's
like, I can't do that.
Yeah,
you should be proud.
That's gainful employment right
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
You know, I see what you're saying, because really when you sum it up, what you're saying is you're too goddamn old for this. These
yeah,
are people who can't
like,
grow up.
At the beginning, you know, if like let's say we're going off of Anna Kendrick's character, she's supposed to be, I think, 18 at the beginning of the first one.
Sure.
She's a freshman going into college. Now they're done with college. She's supposed to be my age, 22, maybe 23. And it's like, you're still singing with these girls from college? Like, I'm glad you guys can hang out and be friends still, but it's like, unless you really want to make a career out of being an a cappella singer, which I guess, you know, arguably you could, but that's not what she's been saying she wants to do.
So what
like,
you're saying
you
is, like,
you gotta get serious.
Yeah, at this point, the dream is
you
done.
You just lost your job. Go find another job.
Yeah.
Don't go to a USO singing competition.
like this singing thing is done.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you didn't get it in college, it's like athletes. Like, if you didn't make the NFL when you were in college, then, hey, you know,
it's
move
like,
on.
You're 28, you sit down. Like,
be humble.
Yeah. It seems like too much. Like, I'm sure there's going to be really good laughs because those girls just love each other and
yeah.
they have great, you know, charisma and what is it, chemistry. But for the most part, it's like, I'm sad for them.
Like, what? What are you going to say, Mark?
Wow. I every time I thought I might jump in, she'd say exactly what was about to come out of my mouth. I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
Let her take it.
This
for
a
while.
Smart one right
I'm
here.
I'm going on vacation. You know what? And the thing is, they show them like, they're all like, yeah, now that we're adulting, we just feel washed up. And I'm like, all right, that could be interesting. But I foresee something like Transformers or Cars 3, where like that's this much of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what went wrong with the second one and is going to go wrong here is just how overblown it gets. And all this, like, bringing along Elizabeth Banks and John Michael Higgins just to have them in
yeah.
there make comments, even though that makes no sense whatsoever.
I don't understand that. Because these girls are done. They, you know, they're done with these competitions. Why are they still news?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't contact you.
Like, it is a fact. The acapella community does not have the money to be doing this.
Right.
Now managed to win at something that didn't have to do with baking.
I can hear you.
You know, if she's washed up and done, why are they following her?
I would imagine that these two have, like, gotten into some kind of reality show and they're trying to keep something going. They'll probably reveal that they're just as big of losers as the Bellas themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this whole thing, they are too old to be chasing competitions and going and still having that idea like, guys, if we can have this one night, this one performance, it's going to change our whole lives. Like,
if it showed them like still singing together and still trying to make like a career of it together after college, that'd be different. But they said like, oh, let's get back together again. It's like, so yeah. You guys separated and are now coming back when you should be focusing on other things.
Well, I'll tell you one of the things that I do see as an improvement that made me already like this one, even though I'm not too crazy about this. It makes me like it better than the second one because that second one, there wasn't a whole lot of diversity. And I'm not sitting up here arguing. I'm not that guy that's always arguing for diversity in everything.
True,
but the whole thing was, it was just one big appropriation of black culture, soul music, and hip hop with all these white people singing and instilling these songs and doing a cappella over it.
This is how we do it.
I'm kind of boss, and it's all because
this is how we do it.
South Central does it like nobody does.
This is how we do it.
You know, I would have.
I mean, it's kind of a joke because it's Germans
German
doing
too,
it.
Yeah.
But still, it was like,
this is how we do it.
I got the joke. And that guy, that German dude, I know he's a YouTube star. I like him, but he was overacting in this.
Yeah, he was overdoing it.
He was overdoing it.
It needed, I mean, for what they're trying to do with them, it needed that.
But I tell you why I didn't like it. It's not because I'm saying no white people could have done this. I'm complaining, you know, oh, here comes another guy, Black Lives Matter shit. No, it wasn't that. It was, you have all these white people doing it, and I wouldn't mind if it was a mix, but all these white people doing it, and there's one black person who hardly gets any lines in the movie. So you have all this black culture with all these white faces strapped in front of it, and the black girl can't get no lines at all. And
welcome
honestly,
to America.
And it looks like they're doing the same thing to her in this movie right here.
What if I could get us an invite?
Yeah, I've suddenly got a...
Like, that camera just ran past her, so she couldn't get no lines in. Like, they gave her a look. She's the fucking T-Dog of the Pitch Perfect series. You remember, with T-Dog?
Yeah.
When T-Dog went getting the lines. Like, that meme right there. This dog has more screen time in season two than I have. And they would do T-Dog like that. There would be parts in the show where T-Dog would get ready to say something. He would look, and they would just cut. And that's what they did. That's what it looks like they're doing to this girl right here. Fortunately, we have the villains in here who have more lines, and I guess if you a light skinned girl, then they it's okay to have more lines in here. Like the girl that we saw in the band.
That's so cute.
And I don't know who that girl is, but it took me a while to recognize that is Ruby Rose.
Oh, I recognize her off the bat. Yeah. She's the kiss of death.
And, oh, you think so?
Yes.
How so?
She's terrible in every movie she's in, and every movie she's in is terrible.
Not so. Not so. That's Xander Cage, man. That was some good shit. Nah, she was in John Wick 2, which I know you don't like, but that's a brilliant film. Hey, Sammy, stick up
brilliant
with John Wick
lot.
2 right there. Yeah, that's some hype shit, right? Yeah.
That shit is like Book of Henry.
All right. I got Bluto on my side. If Bluto says it's good.
Yeah,
you ain't got no spinach right now. No, it took me a while to recognize her because well, y'all gonna be mad at what I said. She don't look like a dangerous lesbian. Because whether you like the movie she's in or not, don't get mad at me because that's how they cast her. And Triple X, Xander Cage, she was an extreme dangerous lesbian.
Right.
And John Wick 2, she was a deaf, dangerous lesbian. Mara's like, that's my favorite role by her. And Orange is the New Black, she's a dangerous, dangerous lesbian. A criminal, dangerous lesbian, even though she looks really cute right there. She's got a Justin Bieber going on. But she plays that in every role. I'm happy to see her actually have some diversity here. I'm not saying I'm happy to see her be what even looks like close to a straight woman, but I'm just tired of her playing the tough lesbian kind of girl.
And you don't think that's what she's playing here?
For her, that's a little soft. She'd beat that girl up there if she saw that. So, you know, I like that. But, man, y'all hit it. Y'all hit it when y'all said this just looks like it doesn't know where to go. It's that third film in a series where and also it's that last season of a terrible season of a show where these characters, man, they just don't have anything for them to do anymore.
They don't. And when they get to these musical numbers, they are so overblown. Where I'm like, wait, y'all came here to losers, and then you got money for pyrotechnics?
Yeah, they did that in the last one, I think, too.
And they switch up the song right before they go on stage, yet it's all choreographed well, and with the lighting people, the light guy knows what to do. Yeah.
Okay, guys, let's rehearse for 2 seconds. We can do this. But hey, you said musical numbers. I can get with that because that's what this is about, sure. Musical numbers. When did this shit become a summer action blockbuster?
Right.
Because in this, that's how you know they have nothing else to do. Yeah. Where before it was about the camaraderie between these girls and how they all got along because, you know, they had that, they were underdogs and had the that one thing in common, which is they love music. They, in this, I don't even know what the fuck is going on here. They're doing some Tom Cruise Mission Impossible mummy shit. Like, they jump out of planes. They're jumping from explosions off of ships. Baywatch. They even got, like, martial arts action movies with that same fucking villain in every movie. It's a different dude that plays him, but he got that black hair and that goatee.
And that goatee.
But, yeah, where is all this coming from? I'm not saying, hey, look, maybe the movie makes sense, but it really does look like they're just pushing a lot of things that these movies weren't.
Yeah, it's like going from Fast and the Furious 1, where they're L.A. street racers, to 6 and 7 and 8, where they're spies.
Hey, maybe we're going there, man.
TVs in the first one.
Yeah.
All the way up down to, I don't know, millions of dollars.
I mean, maybe, hey, work for Fast and Furious. Why not here? Dancing furiously. You know, I don't know. Maybe maybe they'll be driving cars. Maybe they'll dance with cars. Next one, I don't
sing
know.
And do a drive
cars. The real bad sign here is that Elizabeth Banks and the original director, they're not back. The original director, Jason Moore, they're not doing this one. This is a director. Let me see her name. Trish Tsai, a C, which you might have heard through the Step Up All In movie.
Oh, well, of course.
Oh, that
the Step Up movie that nobody stepped to at all. the one no one heard of before.
Oh, good. I'm glad to see she landed on her feet.
Got that Pitch Perfect 3, bitch. But, yeah, I'm not.
They should cross them over, though.
Why not?
They bring Channing Tatum in.
Where he dances and they sing.
And Moose let them dance on the stage. Magic Mike.
Perfect Mike. Man, I hope that y'all see. I had no bias against this. I actually pointed out some things that I think could make this better than what I saw in the last movie. And like I said, I didn't see the first one, but it does seem like that movie where it made so much money the last time that they were obligated to make this one. And it's going to be that third one where they should have stopped while they were ahead, because this one doesn't look all that promising. But it could be.
Well, you know, they got all these pretty locations. They already got a huge fan base built. I mean, I figure, like, hey, if there's so many people like the second one,
yeah,
then they're just going to go because they want to see the Bellas again.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah, I think at this point it's become more about the ensemble than the actual movie, which is why they're not trying as hard, because for the most part, people have just fallen in love with these girls and how they all talk to each other and, like, their jokes and stuff, but I don't know. It's like you got to pay attention a little bit to the story, too.
Yeah.
And it looks like the same shit. And it's like, I don't need to see them fight to win a competition for the third time.
Yeah.
Give me something different.
Gotcha. And you know what? I'll end it on a positive point. You know, you're saying that it got to this point where it's the camaraderie that people like with them. It's the, you know, the chemistry. It worked for Fast and Furious.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No, exactly.
And so it could work here. So, you know, hey. So there you go. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be a fair man right here.
You handled that really pleasantly. I think
Thank you. I'll leave you as the official word right here. I'll take that as a compliment from you.
When does that come out?
That's a good question. I mean, the answer I immediately have for you is I don't know. But I can get that answer for you.
Christmas.
Oh, Martin. Here, I can actually put it in bright lights for you. Martin, it comes out this December.
Oh.
There you go. So we got plenty of time. Maybe we'll see another trailer before then that gives us a better look. All right. Let's go ahead. And I just want to show y'all something real quick. This shit is crazy. I found
that thing on Facebook.
It's the thing on Facebook. Maybe you, maybe you saw this. I did a double take. I had to play this shit about three times. Was it just Joe Brown? Does he have celebrity court? Like he brings on celebrities to do cases.
I don't know, man. Last time I saw him was that World Stop.
The World Star video where he was out there hitting on them young girls.
Yeah.
Well, with this one, I saw it and I thought it was a skit. I thought it was on Saturday Night Live. I thought this was a joke. I thought it was a YouTube video. But before that, I thought it was just a dude that looked like somebody else. So I'm looking at Facebook today and I saw a episode of Judge Joe Brown with your boy Rick James on there. Have you seen this?
No. I'm going to take a guess that this is old.
Yeah. No, Rick James came from the grave to sue somebody.
Man, Tupac kept coming back.
That's as late as it. Judge Joe Brown. Nah, man. I saw this and I saw Rick James on Judge Joe Brown. I thought there was somebody that was like saying, oh, man, this dude looked like Rick James.
Uh-huh.
And I went on there and I said, okay, let me look at this. See, because this must be crazy. Nah, it was the real Rick James.
Yeah.
And it was a crazy episode. Now, do you know who Rick James is?
Have we reached that point?
We've reached that point. Either it's a combination of you're too young or you're too white or you're both.
Probably both.
Probably a little both.
Is he music? Because I don't know a lot about music.
No. He's a race car driver.
That's just then.
Yeah, he's an Indy 500. He races dressed like that. let me. Oh, now I gotta hit you with something. I gotta show you a little hit. You never heard of Super Freak?
Yeah,
the song. That's the dude that sings it.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
She never heard of Super Freak.
She's like, yeah.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, Super Freak. Yeah.
She's like, yeah. Can't touch this.
The chat even talking about, damn girl, fuck your couch. You never heard that expression before. You now, do you know who Dave Chappelle is?
Yeah.
Okay, then why don't you look up a video by your uncle Dave, and he has a whole video about Dave Chappelle, where he's one of his co-hosts, Charlie Murphy. You know who Charlie Murphy is? Okay, how the fuck you don't know who Rick James is?
I can't tell you. I don't know.
Okay. Well, this is Rick James right here. This is your boy, the Super Freak himself.
I know this song. I do.
I do this at karaoke all the time. Boy, it's something to think that those girls in this video are like 60 years old now. Yeah, you know.
I mean, they couldn't stay that age forever.
No, they couldn't. And Martin's like, you'd hit that shit today, so why are you even talking?
Very kinky girl. The kind you don't take home to my bar. She will never let your spirits down.
Once you get her off the streets. Yeah, you know that.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's going to be your wedding song.
Yeah.
Yeah. But... She's like, yeah!
Hey, what?
She's like, yeah, but fuck you! Then you put up your boy. Who? You never heard, I'm Rick James, bitch! You never heard that? Wow, we really old.
Yeah.
Yes. That means you in winners now. You know Rick James?
That's right, Sammy.
Then you're old then. Cold-blooded. But this man, yeah, that Super Freak. That fool was up in Joe, was it Joe Brown?
Yeah, Judge Joe Brown.
Judge Joe Brown. He's up in his court suing his friend over a guitar, $4,500. Rick James, look, I don't know. It was at that point where he spent all his money on cocaine. Maybe he went broke, I guess. I don't know.
$4,500, really?
$4,500. Okay. Yeah. Either he was really broke or he was very cheap because he could have bought another guitar. But this whole thing was that guitar meant a lot to me. And he was also mad because he said, well, you know, also, Your Honor, my friend, which I never really knew until lately, was gay, and he touched my butt, and I didn't like that.
But you know he's there's a little sugar in his tank, you know. I mean, there's you know a little he's you know a little sugar going on. Up
Don't say that.
What he's basically homosexual, okay? Now, oh, on top of that, because I love him still, okay? I mean, I'm straight, but I don't have a problem with homosexuals. They're in my life. I love them. I embrace them. I don't have a problem with it. This particular night, he had a little bit too much to drink. And you did have a little bit too much to drink. And I think
it was and this man up here with this watermelon rind on his head. And you can tell the dude is gay. Both of them arguing like they're a couple, by the way. But this, you can even see the dude that's gay. There's some things that Rick James said. He's just like, oh, Lord. And the shit gets real in here.
Something to do with his failure to pay off the balance.
Well, yeah, I'm getting at that. And, you know, so all of a sudden we're all, you know, around the bar and a bunch of us are talking. And I get this hand on my butt. You know, and the hand is like there for a few, you know, 40, 60 seconds, you know.
And then oh Lord, why Rick? Why are you doing us like that? We had something beautiful
on my butt, and I look around, and it's JT.
Oh my God!
Now hello, and then he goes in and comments, well, you know, Rick, it was really an accident, you know, or something. The hand was on my butt 40 seconds. How a 40 second accident? Your hand squeezing your butt?
No, that's not what happened, man.
It was at least 40 or 50 seconds.
All right, we got.
Right. I don't know what this has to do with this case.
he said we started to clip. He's like, does this have something to do with your guitar? And it didn't. Not at all. And the shit. You wonder, like, Rick James trying to blow this man off is, oh, you the gay one. But it gets so real in there and so intense that you start to wonder, Rick, did you fuck this dude? Just be honest.
Are you not gay? Hold on.
Ask me my personal business.
Hold on. He's stepping on me.
Gentlemen. Y'all got to see this shit, man. I mean, it's a what the fuck moment to just see Rick James's face in that court, but to play it, I played the whole thing, and it you could tell Judge Joe Brown, he just kind of like, I would normally cut people off at this point, but it's Rick James, bitch. You know?
They told me to let it go.
Yeah. I don't know. Somebody tell me, do they have celebrity court with him? Because I've never seen anything like this.
I've never even heard of that.
I'm like, did Rick James, are you really that hard up that you go in the small claims court on TV with Judge Joe Brown?
Because the reason to go to the TV court is because they pay both people.
Yeah.
So even if you lose, you're not actually paying out anything.
I know. You remember when I got invited to go to TV court?
Which one would you – what would you invite?
When that dude messed up my fucking bathroom and I sued him and they saw the case. And then I got a letter and I – and I thought I'm new to this, so I don't know how to work this. Because I thought, like, well, they're going to choose me because my case is open and shut. And they said, so tell us more about your case. How much do you have on this guy? What are the details? And how much do you think this leans in your favor? And I was just like, man, I got this thing sealed. I got evidence. I got pictures. I got video. Judge already looked at me like, I got this case won. And they're like, oh, well, we don't want that. We want drama.
We want drama.
We don't want you to walk on TV and walk right back out.
Here's my papers. This is what he did. Do you agree? Yeah, Your Honor. All right.
Yeah, they're like, we don't want that shit. You know, we want drama. And in this, there was some drama, as you can see. And the thing is, it's Rick James. So, you know, Rick James, of course, won the case.
All right. Thank you.
Gentlemen, I need you to step out into your right, please.
You're going to get paid for the equipment. How do you feel about that, first of all?
I feel good about that. I mean, that's all I ever wanted.
What about the friendship?
I mean, you know, he's going to pay me for the guitar. So, I mean,
a handshake before I've even asked.
You know, I've been on this, you know, he's a great guitar player. He's a great guy, and I don't bear any malice, you know, and I love him. And if I was homosexual, he'd be my wife.
He's still looking like, come on, Rick. God damn.
Yeah, he's got that whole thing going like, yeah, but if I have sex with him, that doesn't make me gay.
Yeah. Oh, Rick James, bitch. I went court. So, yeah, that's your Rick James right there. It's funny how that's your first impression of Rick James in court.
After you said Super Freak, I was like, okay, yeah, I knew kind of who he was. But no, I did not. Not familiar with all his other stuff.
You got to show her Chappelle show, Sammy.
Yeah.
You're the ambassador.
Okay, I'll be
there. Sammy like, I'll be happy to. What you doing tonight? Come on over. Yeah, sliding them DMs. Sliding them DMs. Show that RJ.
Y'all don't know me that well.
I'm Sammy Gonzalez, bitch. Fuck your intern. But glad you came in. You're very fun.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you're a lot of
fun. You were good on that review.
What?
You were good on the review.
Damn, you're like, what the fuck you said?
I'm catching this here, so.
I know. I was kind of like, You're deaf in that ear?
Yeah, so I was like, hmm?
Maybe because your hair is covered in it.
No.
Get that shit out your ear. You might hear something.
Sure. Right, I never thought to do that before. My God. Can hear everything now.
Nigga, fuck you. I can hear. Hey, real quick news of the week. This real quick. Because we've been talking about this thing that's going on where people be getting hurt on amusement park rides. That includes water slides. This was in, damn, that sounds funny, huh?
That is your beat, isn't it?
It is. Hi, Corey Coleman here at Six Flags.
From Double Toasted News.
got a press up in my hand. A little press word in my hand.
Oh, Scoop Coleman.
Scoop Coleman on the scoop. But, you know, we just told you about, and I'm looking at this, it was, I forgot where this was, but it was a boy who fell on a water slide, and everybody said, it was making news because, well, everybody wanted to be sensitive to it, and they want to laugh. They did say, damn, he made that shit look cool, though.
See a 10-year-old little boy going down the slide on the right side in about half a second.
Yeah, man. I told you, he did some Silver Surfer shit with that. You know,
See, it starts with that, but next you'll have 13-year-olds doing it to the extreme.
That's what
they'll
I was saying.
Make a sport out of it.
Yeah. They try to make it a challenge.
Uh-huh. They'll be doing it like on their hands.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's when, you know, that's what got people with this. They said, man, Boy, this little motherfucker should have been crippled. He should not have been able to get up and walk like that. He should have had skin all over that sidewalk.
It is shocking. You'll see a 10-year-old little boy going down the slide on the right side, and about halfway down.
I like the way he came back up. Like my man, he did some Michael Jackson shit. That motherfucker did that lean. You know, a lot of the news. Look, it's something serious. It should be looked at. The boy. He could have got hurt more, and more people can get hurt if they don't take precautions. But I like the way the news, like, he wasn't hurt. Boy, I got up. He was all right. Boy, like, the news, they're selling this shit. This is shocking, I tell you. And it's like, no, get the fuck up. You all right. Get back on the slide. You cool. You look like a badass. You all right, boy. You can tell how I'm going to be as a father. Kid don't have bones hanging through his skin.
You can barely see the bones, so get up.
Shit, it look cool. Here, take a selfie with that shit, boy. Come on. Yeah, get your ass back
Stop
out
crying.
There.
Stop crying.
Yeah, give me something to cry about. Break your other arm. But this one looks crazy. This is in Six Flags.
Oh, yeah, is this one?
Oh, yeah, yeah, you saw this one.
Yeah.
And
my worst fear.
I don't know where this is. I forgot where they said. It's in New York, upward in New York, and New
Six
York
Flags?
State. Yeah.
That's in New Jersey.
Is that New Jersey then?
Yeah.
Okay. Because they said it was kind of upstate New York.
No, it's New Jersey.
New Jersey?
Six Flags.
All right. Yeah. Well, so you know about this. That's right. You're from that area.
Yeah.
Man, what y'all doing with these rides over there?
It's terribly obvious.
Talk to your people.
You know the mob, right?
Jersey
that.
People are not my
Then
people.
They must have had a hit on this girl because it's not like she was on a roller coaster. You know, she was on that slow-moving shit you just dangle your feet from. Yeah, maybe she was riding with a mob dude, and they're like, hey, she slipped and fell. You know, because
it's a nice ride you got there. Be ashamed if something happened to her.
Yeah, she hung herself from the ride because she is dangling. Somebody said she's dangling from her neck.
Oh, one of those.
Her neck is stuck.
Somebody like, well, you get up there and do something here.
All right, duck catcher.
Now, people are in suspense right here because they got her neck loose and she was dangling by that. I think that's what one of her serious injuries came from. But she's dangling about 20 feet above a crowd. So what you don't see is that the crowd is actually gathered below and they're just going to catch it because that's the only way down for her.
Yeah.
They'll catch you, honey. Go ahead.
The
those were not screams of success. That sounds like they dropped her.
Yeah, did they catch her? Because it looked like she plummeted. Like, well, like they were not committed enough. Yeah. And she like the bounced off the ground.
Really, she really fell.
By the way, this is Six Flags Greats. Let me see. Great Six Flags Great Escape in Queensbury, New York. So fuck you. So
New
Jersey. No, that's Jersey. No, I know. I'm from there. Jersey. Well,
I've never heard of that.
The Jersey state motto.
Yeah.
What, you think you're better than me?
Hey. Yeah, they start clapping, so unless people just really love death. And
they wanted to believe. That looked like one of those things. Was it the second Spider-Man movie with Gwen Stacy, where she's falling and he's webs her and catches her, but her head still knocks the ground.
Yeah.
And everybody went, ooh.
Yeah.
No, I was like, Johnny, go ahead.
Pow.
See, like,
well, they're clapping, so they really didn't like that girl. But I was in a situation similar to this. Now, I wasn't dangling, but this was when I was in the National Guard, and they had this thing that you had to do, and I forgot what it was called, but basically you have to climb up about 20 feet or so up this wooden rafter, and then when you get to the top, they got this rope that goes all the way down to the ground.
Sure.
So you put your gloves on. And you slide. You just slide to safety.
Zip line.
Yeah, zip line. Yeah. And then and everybody was fine and everybody was doing it. And we had this one kid. And this motherfucker was a failure. He failed at everything he had done.
Private Pyle.
Private Allison was his name. Not Pyle, but he was close. And another thing, he was like this real skinny kid.
Uh-huh.
He was like, sometimes I tell you the story about how we got first to basic training. They pulled everybody out for processing and walled in our civilian clothes, and they have everybody stand in order. And I told a story one time about a kid who threw up all over himself. That was Allison.
Oh.
Before we even got into our barracks, he's throwing up all over himself. Everybody knew this dude was going to fail. And everybody was doing the zip line perfectly. Everybody got it. It was right. Of course, Allison got up there, and he put his body out too far first. And so he's about 3 feet out, and his feet are still on the platform.
Yeah, yeah.
So his body is just arched and dangling, and the drill sergeants already know. They're like, fuck out. And they're like, everybody, get under him, get under him. And sure enough, one foot comes down, and then another foot comes down, and Allison is just there dangling.
Oh.
And we and us being these dumbass privates, we're trying to be heroes. And then we swore to God that we were going to be heroes. We're like, man, they're going to make us sergeants after this, because if I quit thinking, we got these up, because they got these wool military blankets.
Uh-huh.
And we got two of them together.
Oh, okay.
And we're like, hey, no, one of these isn't going to work. Put them together so that we have a bigger space for this guy to fall. And we waited for him, and we're like, Allison, just drop. We got you. And he was going to let go anyway.
Yeah.
So a few seconds later, Allison just fell. And we watched him fall, and our eyes on him all the way down. And that motherfucker just disappeared. We're like, where the fuck did he go? He fell through the seam where we joined the blankets together. And we pulled it back, and he was on the ground convulsing and shit. The drill sergeant was like, get out the way. Get the fuck out of the way. And we all looked like, and I guess I saw a couple of dudes who were holding the blanket. They're like, well, I wasn't involved in this. I'm like, you motherfuckers, man.
So y'all didn't get promoted, huh?
No, we got demoted.
What's under private?
They admitted it that day. The anti-private. Actually, we didn't get in trouble. They thought it was cool that we tried to get our guy and that we were trying to do something. It seemed like a good idea.
Maybe if he falls in the weakest link, he'll be fine.
So no Book of Henry, huh?
No. And you know what? And I still think, Bob, any other situation, it would have worked.
It was just him.
But fucking Allison, man.
He's Charlie Brown. Yeah. He was going to find a way to slip through the blankets.
He was going to find a way to fuck that up completely. So, yeah. 20 feet is high, man. We saw this dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sprained an ankle. That was all.
That's
we broke
it.
His fall. While he was convulsing, he was in shock. And it was a mental thing. He was in shock, and they had to take him off and take him to the hospital and cool his ass down. So, it really was a scary thing at the time. But the next day, we were just kind of like, fucking Allison, man. We had a good laugh with that shit.
And today, that Private Allison is serving in Trump's cabinet. And that is the rest of the story.
Still slipping through that banking, man. Let's see what we got here. Let's see. You got to go watch that Dave Chappelle, Rick James thing.
Okay.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah,
that's your homework for tonight. Learn your Uncle James, your Uncle Rick James. Let's see. Let's go ahead and get into Charlie Murphy. Oh,
let's see. It's good stuff. You'll like it.
Hmm? No, I'll like it. I'm sure I will. I haven't seen it.
No, you will. It's very funny. You like Dave Chappelle?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised. Did you watch the show? Guess not.
I watched, I think I was, too young to watch the show. But
oh, yeah,
I
she was a kid.
I watched a lot of, his stand-up and stuff. Like, I saw his most recent stuff.
What is your, I don't know how much information you want to release, but what does your mother do?
She is a executive regional manager, clinical science liaison.
Okay. I'm asking because your mother...
Sammy Bank did. Holy shit.
Yeah, she told me the other day there was a lot of words. I had to ask again. So your mother got money then? Yeah.
She does well. She's earned her money. She's moved up. She does well.
You don't get the kind of support from your mother like hers unless your mother has money.
We didn't always have money.
But you got money.
I mean, in the last, couple years, yeah. But okay. In the beginning, I was normal.
I'm just happy to see that you're slumming it here with us at the studio.
I do what I can for the little people.
Yeah. I knew because ain't no mom going to drive her daughter 1,000 miles to hang out with a couple of crusty old Negroes in the studio in the name of an internship. But her mother did. I even had to say, I said, should I talk to your mother? Do I need to let her know I'm okay? She's like, nah, my mom's cool. So, all right.
She trusts me. I wouldn't show up here if I didn't think, I'd be okay.
Okay. All right. Got to tell you, the girl is very smart, too. She we were talking earlier. She gave me some really grand ideas for us to do. Some of the short-term stuff that we were, short-form stuff that we were talking about, which will be fun for everybody.
Good.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. So
we need some fresh blood and new ideas.
No, she's bringing it, man. She's bringing you doing what an intern should do.
Oh, good.
Yes, I have fun hanging out with you too. You're very cool.
Thank you. So are you.
Thank you. Let me see here. New best buddies right here. Let's go ahead and get into. I'm not going to even go to the title. Let's go ahead and get to the top 10 right now. Top 10 box office.
Hey,
Sammy, what's up? Top five.
You wrote top 10 on the notes on the show. I fixed it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I appreciate that. No, we're getting longer. We're expanding. Top 10. Let's go ahead and get into it. And let me see. Let me see. Sammy gave me.
It's like I'm creeping right behind you on this camera.
You are.
Yeah, move over.
Should we switch?
No. You know what? Here's your first camera lesson. Go over there and center us a little bit better. You got to get up and do it. Never mind. You got it. You got your way.
No, I can get up.
You got it. You got it. Go ahead. Do, you know, I shouldn't tell
don't,
you. Do
you just
you
move
do.
His head to the camera.
She got it.
In the back. Now, can you focus a little bit?
Zoom.
Hey, keep doing. Are you on? Wait a minute, a little more.
There you go.
That's good. Yeah. No. We're good. We are good. All right. Let's go ahead and.
This girl's good, man.
She's
better at hosting than me. Shit.
You said it. I didn't.
I know. I got to set my game up now. So.
You want to switch? Hey, you looking for a job? Are you looking for an internship?
Motherfucker, you can't pay me less.
No, Sammy, actually, like I said, I don't even want to put that out there because Sammy, you know, he's getting close to being very good on screen, but...
God damn, dude. You could have said that 1,000 other ways. He's getting kind of close.
I'm messing with you, man. Sammy.
When you sit right there, it's easier for him to give you a backhanded compliment.
Right? Yeah, I got to reach across the room. No, Sammy's good. And Sammy's been doing very well. Sammy's been a big
hit. I figured after hosting my own show for a year. But
how's that going?
Good, man. What are we doing this week? Independence Day coming up this week. The original.
I like that list of movies you got coming up.
Yeah, man. Martin's going to be on, and was it three? I think you signed up for three of them. So, yeah, Martin's going to come to my show sometime this year.
I got a lot of people who gave me answers for Baby Driver. So I'm going to let you know who our winner is in a little while. I'll get to that. I told you, near the end of the show, I will let you know. But for right now, let's go ahead and get into the top five. And I want to talk about the top five today because I'm a little disturbed by a possible trend that might happen. We'll get to that when we get to it. But let's go ahead and start out with number five. Hey, do you keep up with the box office at all?
Yeah.
You do? Okay, so then tell me something. What is number five?
I'm afraid that I'm afraid maybe I don't.
Well, we'll see. You want to talk some shit? Let's see. Number five. What is number five?
For a box office hit?
No.
Of all time,
for your list of groceries. No. Yeah, for box office.
In the box office right now.
This weekend.
What's the number five movie?
Okay, Martin, go ahead.
I don't know.
Martin, go ahead.
No, I thought she was going to pull it out. I think it's All Eyes on Me.
Martin,
All Eyes on Me.
Not on this movie. Got five. Actually, it's doing okay. It's a small movie. And the thing I can't say about this is that a lot of people, despite the reviews, a lot of diehard Pac fans, Tupac fans, came out to check this out.
Yeah.
And
even the second week.
Yeah. Yeah. The weekend gross on it is $5.8 million. And the total gross after 2 weeks is $38.6 million. And that's on a budget of $45 million. Now, it's on its way out, so it's not – even that's a small budget. So it's not doing great business.
Right. No, it had the biggest drop-off this year for a top five movie, 78%.
Really?
First weekend to the second. So it might not make its budget back.
Wow. That's
because they had to invest a little bit. They didn't put much into advertising, but they did put enough.
But, okay, it dropped 78%, but it was only number four last week.
Right.
Yeah.
And so this week is just a lot lower altogether.
But it could be that only dropped one place, though.
It could be that number still in relative
just because it's so low.
Yeah, relative to everything else, a lot of things might be just doing that well. Yeah.
Numbers are low, and there's a real tricky thing here for the top five that I put in the notes for you. So
okay,
to include also.
Okay.
Oh, where is that? Is that here?
Yeah, it'll be on number three. You'll see it.
Okay. Yeah. So basically, what Sam is saying is that all the big fans came out. It was front loaded. Yeah. All the Tupac fans came out that first weekend. It didn't catch the curiosity of people who were not Tupac fans,
right?
Like something like Straight Outta Compton did, which did amazing in his marketing.
Yeah.
Marketing for this was dead on arrival. I mean, the moment that first trailer hit, everybody's like, "I'm just not feeling that vibe coming off of this like I did with Straight Outta Compton."
Right. Yeah.
So let's go ahead and get to the number. Let's get to the number four movie.
47 Meters Down.
Martin, you'll be 47 meters right on that, sir.
It's like they just swapped places.
$7.4 million is what it made on this weekend for a total gross of $24.2 million. That's after 2 weeks. This is a micro-budgeted movie, $5 million. I didn't know it cost that much. That's actually pretty good for those sharks, man. Those sharks don't come cheap. They ask for a lot of money.
Well, you know, I mean, maybe not artistically, but financially, it was a smart move to put it in theaters.
Right. Well, and when I say sharks, I'm making a joke, but those sharks look good for the money that they had.
They do. They look really good. They only look bad when you see so many of them at one time.
Okay.
It's just something about your brain goes, something's not right about this.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And let's go ahead. And anything on that?
Oh, no. We didn't have the budget last week, so it is $5 million. So, yeah, they got in, got out. This is a new... Could be a new summertime horror theme, very much like
Sharks.
Jaws time and Sharks and all this other stuff. So.
Yeah, it was another shark movie that came out about this time last year, right?
Yeah, The Shallows.
The Shallows.
There you go, Shallows.
Yeah, which also did well. Mm-hmm. And that one got, I think, okay reviews.
Yeah, it got better than this.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and get into the number three movie.
Technically. Wonder Woman?
We'll go with it,
You know what, Martin? We'll go with that. Technically... It was a tie this weekend. Wonder Woman brought in $25.1 million. Now, we know this movie's been kicking ass, so $300 million so far. $318 million after 4 weeks, to be exact, on a budget of $149 million. Now,
and I think I read that with this week it beat Batman vs. Superman domestically.
It will. By the end of this week, it definitely will pass that, and it'll be number three on the DC list behind Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, so hopefully this, beating out those other films, there's a lot of hope among fans, even those who weren't big DC fans, saying, now this will set everything straight. They'll look at this and see this is the direction that they need to be going in.
But those other movies are already way into production at this point.
But they're also going through some production trouble where they had to bring in Joss Whedon.
Right.
And like I said, I'm not going to sit up here and make light of Zack Snyder's tragedy, but I would almost say for certain that there are a few executives that are like, this is some kind of a blessing in disguise right here. I mean, we don't want to tell the guy, we feel bad for him, and really it's horrible. And if he was still there, I wouldn't say anything. But a lot of people thinking nobody wanted it that way, but this needed to happen. Mm-hmm. Not his daughter Don, him out of that position.
Right, right.
What is it tied with?
Cars 3.
It is tied with Cars 3. $25 million, just like Wonder Woman is what it brought in. The only thing is that this is not doing all that well as far as a movie. As far as the movie gross, as a Cars movie, $99.8 million after 2 weeks on a budget of $175 million. But you were the one that was telling me that they just want to make the money off of toys.
Right, yeah. The second Cars, even though everyone hates it, made $18 million at the same time it did last year, after 10 days or something like that.
Okay.
2 weeks. So, yeah, they're really hoping and banking that these toys really sell. So.
And are they selling? Do you know?
I don't know. No, I don't know. But even then, even my nephews who liked Cars when he came out, the second one and the first one, he's not getting the toys. He's too old now. And even the younger girls, they're not getting it. So.
Yeah, that's the thing I wonder about because, yeah, those kids who like Cars when they came out, they're older, they wouldn't be into that. Yeah. And now there's so many more toys to buy. There's all kinds of Legos that are based on licensed properties.
Well, no, they're
Power Rangers.
They're into Marvel now.
Yeah.
So, my nephew was like 2 when the second Cars came out, or 3. Now he's 7 years old and wants to be Spider-Man. So that's his thing now. So
yeah, okay. And you say like, oh, but there's little kids, the new little kids. But I feel like they're more into TV stuff than just Cars.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this one not doing well as far as just the movie side, but hey, maybe marketing and merchandising will help it make up its budget somewhere.
And the biggest disadvantage of this one is, speaking of Spider-Man, Spider-Man's coming out in 2 weeks and Despicable Me is coming out next week. So it's not going to have like a Boss Baby run where it's just going to kind of sneak in there. Despicable Me is going to take his money and run.
Yeah.
So.
And you know what? This whole attitude of depending on other things besides the domestic gross of a movie is the thing that's bothering me, which will actually tie into what we're about to talk about in a little bit. Martin, what's the number one movie, sir?
Transformers.
More
than meets the eye.
And Martin, I would give you a win sound, but this movie, it lost big at the box office. $45.3 million is what it brought in. Now, if you want to take the other days that it came out on, if you want to include Wednesday and Thursday, $69 million is the total on a budget of $217 million. But really, when you look at the weekend gross for a Transformers movie, $45 million.
I know.
And a lot of people who hate this series, like I do, definitely on my list of worst movies. And it will be because I don't. If something beats this, then goddamn. But I give up. But a lot of people are trying to rejoice in that, man, finally. Hollywood's beginning to see that nobody wants to see this shit no more.
Hollywood don't care.
Hollywood don't give a fuck.
If Hollywood would care, if this domestically, that's all that matters.
Sure.
But over in China, I think internationally, this has already topped $120 million and more.
Yeah. $196 million.
Oh, if you take all the markets.
All of them together, $123.4 million in China alone.
Yeah.
And the annoying thing about this is that I don't care if China loves robots or stupid ass movies like this. It's a cultural thing. Y'all like whatever the fuck you want. I know not everybody in China can be generalized. China makes great movies too. They just don't see too many movies that cost over $200 million. $200 million worth of bullshit robots beating the shit out of each other. But the thing that we see happening, and we've seen this for a while. Is that, and this is in movies that we even like. Big budget movies are making films for other markets.
Yep.
And it sticks out glaringly in the movies that we see here in the States, where we'll just see a shot of a group of Japanese people cheering for no reason.
Yeah, or they have to go to Hong Kong.
Or they have to go to Hong Kong.
Just for 5 minutes.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Oh, you happen to have a Chinese doctor working on you right
was
now.
Was it The Dark Knight, where they just went to China for no reason?
Well, you know what? Yeah.
Yeah. They went to China for no reason.
For no reason. I mean, well, they worked with it.
You could argue that there was a reason, but they could have easily not have.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you the difference.
They could have saved the money.
Difference is in The Dark Knight, it was worked into the story well. Yeah. And it was early when they were doing this kind of thing, so nobody really noticed. And it worked fine. But now we're getting these movies where, like, they'll cut to a space station of Chinese people. I'm like, why the fuck were they there? You know? Why are we always seeing this little Chinese actress in here? Why is Dr. Dre from Strata Compton in King Kong? Why is he, about to, like, have sex with this Chinese chick? Uh-huh. You know, this Korean chick. You know, they're making these movies for other markets where they're just forcing it into these films, and they stick out. And it's just going to, I think it's just going to hurt the storytelling of the films.
Were there any Chinese Transformers? Like actual
Japanese one.
Okay.
And he's about as big a stereotype as you can get.
Does he have a samurai sword?
Yeah.
Yep.
Fuck. You kidding me?
Yep. No, he's like a Shogun warrior.
Old samurai motif.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to hurt the way they make big budget movies. They really are going to seem like more assembly line projects than they are real stories. Yeah.
But here's the thing: unless you do what we do, you don't have to go see them.
Right. No, but even if we don't see them, they're still going to make them.
Yeah.
And they're going to, I guess you're right. Like, we have to see them. Like, you don't. But then again, I feel bad for people who are like me, who they say, man, this could be really cool if you just did it right. We're not even asking for anything great. Just anything can be good if you do it right. But all they're doing is, and I'm not even talking about, oh, you took my childhood and, man, you know, I'm a Transformers fan. Why are you ruining that for me? No, it's nothing like that. I got Transformers to watch if I want to. Fucking, I don't care. But as far as a movie goes, yeah, I would like to see them make a good movie with a cool property like that. Or better yet, just make a good movie, period, instead of just throwing all this shit in there.
Well, they keep making so many of them. They got to make a good one by accident at some point.
They got to stumble on one.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
No, I mean, it's just bad filmmaking. And it's bad filmmaking on the most on the most expensive level. I mean, it's just gross how excess these movies are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I
think that's the most insulting part. It's not that they keep making them. It's that their budgets are getting bigger and bigger each time. And it's like, how is this? How are you doing this? Why? And also, just why?
Why?
Yeah. And if you're gonna do that, I have no problem with big budgets. But they really didn't care. They're like, all right, do we have explosions? Do we have actors? Do we have set pieces and locations? Mm-hmm. All right, we'll write this shit as we go along.
Yeah.
And it just makes no sense. I mean, when movies start to become a jumble, because I saw a movie recently, and I'm not going to say it is, but it made me hate Transformers even more, because it was a movie where it was amazing filmmaking. In a Hollywood movie, full of special effects, which on a big budget, mm-hmm. And you could see the director using every frame to tell a story. And then I go and I look at something like Transformers. I'm like, this is just wasteful.
And if it's what I think you're thinking of, the effects are used well to make you believe something, to make you honestly believe something that couldn't exist. Whereas this is just to show shiny robots.
Yeah. Yeah. It's garbage, man. It's like they're not. I mean, I don't want to be that movie nerd, cinema geek, and something that really that people hate because you go around and just talking shit when everybody just say, like, look, we know what it is. We like it. But it really is an insult to filmmaking, these kind of movies are right now. It's just it's a total disregard for anything that people do to tell stories visually. If it was just crashes, I could be like that. But just trying to tell a story?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
This is Universal, right?
That's Paramount.
I was about to say, man, that Transformers Fast and Furious combo, man, I'm waiting for it.
I would love
that. Would make the most money ever.
It totally would.
It would rival Star Wars, I think.
Oh, wait, they're not the same studio? It's not
Universal is Fast and Furious, Paramount.
I kept hoping that maybe one.
Because I know they, at Universal, they have the Fast and Furious ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
different.
I'm just saying, I want to see.
And they got a Transformers ride, too.
Yeah, they have a Transformers ride. So I just want to see freaking Dom riding up his Prime into battle against The Rock on Bumblebee.
All right, so if we can't join those two, can we join the Fast and the Furious with Jurassic World?
I would. Man, we said that. I would love that.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs were so smart, they drive cars.
And Dom and his crew have to drive through Jurassic World, trying to round them up, trying to herd them together.
Yeah.
Actually, you know
Ludacris
what?
Chris is screaming for some reason.
Man, you know what? I'm joking. Take the dinosaurs driving cars out of it. But you're right. If they had to go to Jurassic Park, like if Don came in like, we're going to Jurassic Park. And they're like, really?
Yeah, like a capture. Like they're in like a base or something. You have to go get them and retrieve them.
You got
to
retrieve them. Yeah.
They got to go through
Russell
all these.
Kurt Russell shows up and just tells them, like, this is your new assignment.
You're stopping dinosaurs.
Fucking Star-Lord's a part of it. Why not?
You're the only ones who can do this.
They got to use cars to wrangle dinosaurs. Man, I would be so fucking down with that.
Make it happen.
Chris Pratt's like this with the car. Yeah, exactly. He's like, hey. Until I say.
Especially at some point, they got to take those Jurassic Park Jeeps. And they gotta, yeah. they gotta
rig
fit them
up.
Yeah, they gotta rig them up.
Gotta soup them up.
Yeah. Nah, cinnamon shit. Yeah. Fucking launch them, man. That's what you wanted as a kid when you had.
That's your movie right there.
Yeah.
All the money in the world.
$1 million idea. $1 billion idea.
Billion.
Alda. Yeah. Alda, she's written to us before. She says, hey, Corey Martin, I'm a young woman about to graduate from college soon, and when it comes to the Pitch Perfect series, I can't stand it. The jokes aren't funny and unrelatable. I cannot wait for this franchise to die. I love acapella and all, but these movies are not doing it for me. Well, you know,
I like how she had to defend her love for acapella before she bashed the rest of the movie. She's like, I love acapella, but these movies are
just Pentatonics, yeah. Fuck all these.
Yeah. Well, there's a million other girls out there who would disagree, but hey, I hear where you're coming from. I'm not crazy about it myself. Got some emails here that I've already kind of picked. Sean Childress. He says, as a fellow Spider-Man fan like myself, are you happy and excited with all the great positive praise the film has been receiving from critics? And he is a toasty from California.
Nah, that pisses me off.
Yeah, of course.
Boo! Why would we not like that?
Well, no. I am not taking it seriously at all. I would love to be happy about that, but as far as all these people who are out there tweeting that they love this movie, I don't ever trust that at all. They did it with Suicide Squad. They did it with Batman versus Superman.
No, that's a movie coming up that's been getting heaped with praise that I've seen already that I just thought was, yeah, okay. Yeah.
What? Have I seen it?
I know which one you're talking about.
I know which one you're talking about. All right.
No, I've seen people like, Spider-Man, best MCU movie ever. I'm like, which one isn't, okay? Every time a new one comes out, you say that.
Yeah, you're going to have to do better
than these
tweets that people send out ahead of time because those are not trustworthy at all. A lot of them are people who are just happy to see a free movie. But on the other side of that, these are some people who are respected critics, are journalists, and they said that the movie's pretty amazing. They said that it's, goes without saying, it's the best Spider-Man movie, but they said that it actually caught, it's a lot of fun because it caught the youth of Peter Parker in this.
Well, you could see that in the trailers. And I don't need to be the greatest. I just want it to be good.
Right.
I need for it to be the greatest.
So I'm going to miss my wedding day. It needs to be the greatest. Yeah.
If nothing else but to rub that shit in the face of Sony. I think that, I think this would be a great bargaining thing for them. I'm still keeping hope. As we saw, anything is possible. I'm still keeping hope that Sony's going to take Spider-Man away from,
Marvel.
Marvel's going to take Spider-Man away from Sony.
They're going to just take it away.
They'll buy it, but
Sony's being petulant. They don't want to let that go.
We never thought there would be an Avengers. We never thought that Sony would ever even lend Spider-Man to Marvel. So I'm still keeping out hope that if this is successful, they'll probably be able to just flat out buy it. Or maybe they'll work out something where Marvel just really has control over that and they'll just say, all right, Sony.
Here's your check. But leave it alone.
Don't you just feel like Marvel will make this movie, it'll be successful, and then Sony will say, like, okay, well, good. Give it back. We got it now. like they won't have learned until they get it back, fuck up again, and they go like, all right, well, man, maybe you guys should go ahead. It's like that dad who finally got joint custody, but he can't get his shit together.
I hear you, man. I hear you.
That one weekend she said, all right, I got to go out of town. You can keep the kid, and then the dad goes to a bar and then lose a kid at the mall.
Let me show y'all something right here. Let me see. So, this is the one I want. So, this is a racist meltdown at a doctor's office that we watched on Tuesday. Y'all remember the woman? She did not want any help from anyone unless she had a white doctor, even though her son couldn't breathe.
Please see a white doctor. It's only available after 4. If you're not, so you're saying in the whole entire building there isn't one white doctor?
Your kid has to be seen by a pediatrician.
Okay, so you're telling me that my kid has chest pains, he's going to have to sit here until 4 o'clock. Can I see a doctor, please, that's white?
She's saying when she goes on, she keeps saying, like, I want one, I don't even want one with brown teeth. that's how brown these people are in here. That teeth ain't even white. Get me a white doctor. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I got to put that in context to something else. Our man, this is from
Let me see here. He'll say his name probably in here, but let me pull him up because I don't see it. Hey, DT crew, I live down the street from that clinic with the racist lady you talked about last week. A lot of the doctors around here are Indian. Mine is too. He's all right. Don't judge a doctor by the color of his skin, but the length of his fingers. He said this week. Hey, I got to get my prostate exam. Hey, so.
Yeah. I don't know that
yet. Yeah, Alan, you don't get a finger in your ass one day from a dude. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you,
that you, you, yeah.
They're going to check that prostate one day. They'll put that ET up in you.
There's no better way by now?
No. I don't think they want a better way.
Honestly, there's not a better way because a lot of guys die from it because the doctors don't even want to do it.
Really?
Yeah. Doctors, you come in, you're like, hey, I think I'm going to get a prostate exam. They're like, you're probably all right.
Yeah, shit. I don't want that funky finger.
Homophobia is killing
me. Yeah,
you.
Yeah. It's one guy who don't want to have it done, another guy who don't really want to do it. So it's just like, dude's just like, you're probably fine. Yeah, you think so? Yeah. All right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get some antibiotics.
Fist bump.
And Alan's like, I know. Alan's like, that's fine with me. Yeah, take these Flintstone vitamins.
Watch out for that horse out back.
Hey, Alan. Heard you need your prostate taken, girl. You know, since I don't have any fingers, I'm going to have to use another long thing I got.
It's the longest thing I got, Alan.
Leave that boy alone.
You don't want to die, do you, Alan? I'm trying to save a goddamn life here. Your death will be on my hands if I don't fuck you, Alan. Come on. Mr. Horse is the guy that really loves Alan. So, yeah, he's an actual horse that's been messing with Alan for years.
To this day.
I'll be back, Alan. I'm worried about you, Alan. I want your help. But he goes on to say, this weekend, I found some Islamophobic shit written around my apartment. I blacked it out with some spray paint, and he gave me that left-wing tingle where my dick should be. And he says, I don't, okay.
What?
I don't know what that means.
Does he not have a dick?
I don't know. Maybe not after this. He looks down at his dick and it's got Islamophobic shit on it too. He says here, what is the most liberal thing you've done that gave you guys that social justice warrior pride? And did you feel overly prideful like I do right now? Wait a minute, you feel pride about blacking out, like vandalizing your own apartment?
Yeah, you feel like a hero because you did the right thing. Did you do that for praise?
No, I don't do it for praise, but for pride, yeah. Because pride pushes me to do things even, you know, to do it more, I guess, because we get a good feeling behind it. I don't know, man. I've done a lot of things. I don't know. I'm a good guy.
You saved a cat. That's liberal.
I saved a cat last. Before you got here, I saved a kitten in the middle of the street and adopted it.
That's beautiful.
So I felt good about that. I mean, as my
mentee. That means you're a good person.
That does mean I'm a good person.
And liberal.
I have my mentee kid. You know, I went into a mentorship program, and I'm trying to help this kid do everything, like get a bank account and all kind of stuff. So I feel good about that. So maybe that's the latest thing I've done. I hate to keep bringing that up, but that's the only thing I can think of. I give money to homeless people a lot, probably more than I should, but I do because I feel like money, you know, a lot of people like to say, that guy's probably joking. I've seen some people with like heat rash and burn and all over and shit, and I see like them with messed up hair and dirty hands and faces, and I'm like, either this person is really going out for this role right here, or they really are hard up and need some help. And if somebody is really going out that way to look like a homeless person, I mean, they gone through the whole makeup and the look, then they kind of earned it.
You know? Deserve my money.
Yeah, this is the best. I wish I could give you an Academy Award right now. But what about you?
I do the same thing. I've donated my hair a couple times. I don't know. I just try to be nice, I think, to people.
I'm nice.
It's about as liberally smart as you can get.
I haven't done anything, I think, spectacularly like altruistic lately, but I'd like to think that occasionally. I bought bananas for a homeless person once. That's all I got.
Okay. Mark, what about you?
Try to be nice.
Listen, I'm...
How good of a person are you, Mark?
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Do you suck, or...?
No offense to... What I'm going to say is going to sound like a slam on you, and it's not. I do mean it. I just like I've been playing this in my head. I was like, "There's no way he doesn't take it in some kind of offense," and I don't mean it that way. I do contribute to several charities on a regular basis, and my time at different things, Capital Area Food Bank being one, and stuff. But I think it's gauche to make a list of like, hey, look how awesome I am and what I do for people. But it is something where usually if I see somebody stuck on the side of the road, I stop for them. I don't know. It's just, I think it's just
well, I don't go natural around telling people, hey, you know what I do?
That question just puts you in a position where you just did.
I know, but he asked, so I'm answering it. I never go around telling people this.
Didn't I say you were going to take offense to it? I didn't want you to be defensive about it. I didn't mean it. Because I'm saying that toward the person who's like saying this, wanting us to answer this question. It's gross to sit around saying, hey, Liz, these are my accomplishments. Look what I did. Man, look. Go out there, be a good person, do your thing, and be happy about it. But, you know, the chest beating is,
You know what? I am of the opinion that a lot of people say, man, I don't think celebrities should talk about what they do. And I don't think they should brag about it. I do think celebrities should tell people what they do if they do something charitable or if they do something where they go out and help with hurricane victims or something, because I think that has an influence on people. Not brag about it, but just say, hey, look, I'm doing this. Do whatever you can for people too, you know. So I don't think it's bragging to not always bring it up. If you can and you think it'll influence somebody to go out and do something, that's the time. But it'd be like, man, you know what I did today?
And that's not what you're doing, but that's what he's doing.
Okay, yeah.
his letter's totally doing that.
But the thing is, I don't even see him doing anything because he went through his apartment, unless he's talking about his complex. But even if you went through your complex and blacked it out, it's still the complex still looks like shit.
Now we got black dots on our
wall. Yeah, exactly. But hey, no, man, I hear what you're saying. You're good. Hey, good job, man.
Yeah.
Good job. I like it.
I don't do shit, so leave me alone.
And this is Jad. Jad's been writing for us for a long time. I'm going to try to get through this because Jad, he's been sending me this question over and over again.
Jad.
And that's okay, Jad. I'm not trying to ignore you. I want to get it out the way. I want to address it.
Get it out the way.
No, not get it out the way. I know it sounds bad. Jad Lawnd, he says, I live in Sydney, Australia. I'm 22 years old, and I have Asperger's syndrome. My heritage is Lebanese. I've been a fan of yours since Spill, Now Double Toasted. You are funny, and you give opinions very well. I'm a huge movie geek, and I love movies ever since I was a little kid and a baby. I'm a Marvel guy. I prefer Marvel to DC. I don't hate DC. I grew up with Batman. I like the other two first, Christopher Reeves, Superman. He said, I saw The Mummy 2017. I liked it, enjoyed it. Now, keep in mind, the dude has Asperger's. So, you know, I'm trying.
It's funny. I only know of one other person named Jad, and they are Lebanese.
And have Asperger's.
That I don't know.
He says, I saw The Mummy 2017. I liked and enjoyed it. I give it a 7 out of 10. I've always hated it when people on the internet our life say I'm stupid or an idiot for liking that. You know nothing about movies. Now, in my opinion, I liked and enjoyed The Mummy. I gave them the same score. I gave the same score to Transform. Anyway, he says, yeah, what is your question? Yeah, what is that question?
He never got to one.
He wants a shout out. But he's just, I think he's more addressing the fact that people call him stupid for liking certain movies when really it's just his opinion.
Okay, so there was a question there.
I didn't see any.
Well, that's why they hate you, because you just ramble.
Be concise. <Yeah. laughs>
But you did say you have Asperger's, and you know how we joke around, Jazz, so don't get mad. But you know what? Hey, why are you worried about what people think? Like what you like.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I
like your stupid shit.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I tell Martin all the time, he don't care. I'm like, man, you know, you got horrible taste in movies. We always sit up here, I'm like, damn, Martin, I can't believe you like that shit. Wow, Martin, I can't ever trust your opinion again.
Right.
Wow,
that's
Martin.
I said it to you all the time. Like, yeah. You like that? You're going to talk about this and you like that?
Yeah.
Does that stop you?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know how many times I said to Martin, you dumb motherfucker. And Martin doesn't care? Martin.
Yeah, because that means nothing coming from you.
You see? So that should be the same attitude you have. Yeah. Dumb motherfucker right here. You just get stupid, you know?
Hey, you're a good company right there. That's a stupid motherfucker right there. That's stupid as fuck.
Hey, man, you better watch yourself.
You ain't core, no. But so there you go, Jad. Yeah, you're going to be all right. But, yeah, man, that Mummy, really? You like that shit?
I know, man.
Hey,
you gave the same story as Transformers?
Yeah. I ain't saying you're stupid, but, you know.
Ain't the smartest thing.
Tasteless, maybe.
No, man, you're all right. You're all right. Like your dumb shit anyway. And last right here, we told you guys that we would give to you the answer for the question that we answered earlier, or we asked earlier. You know, we asked you earlier about Baby Driver, the Edgar Wright movie that everybody's looking forward to coming out this Wednesday. And I'm going to read that question one more time to you. Now, let me see if I can find it. Let me see if I can find it right here. It had to do with the question, a question for Heat.
I got it right here.
Do you have it right? Yeah. Thank you. You want to read it?
I can do it. In the movie Heat, 1995, during the armored car heist, name the actors that make up the core crew.
All right. And I have the answer right here. It turns out the fastest driver that we had today is Amy Akpablo. And Amy, let me go ahead. And you got the answer right here?
Yeah, it's right here.
All
right.
So Amy, her answer is, for Heist, the crew consisted of Val Kilmer, Michael Chiaretto, who's played by Tom Sizemore, Trejo, who's played by Danny Trejo, and Wayne Grow, who's played by Kevin Cage. Did she get that right?
Was Robert De Niro in that heist? Yeah, he was the owner of it.
Yeah, I thought it was so, De Niro, Kilmer,
Sizemore.
Trejo. And I didn't know who the last guy
Trejo,
was.
Yeah, Trejo and Gage were there. So they missed Robert De Niro.
That's,
everyone was right except for that one.
You missed the main one.
Yeah.
You missed the main one.
Sounds like Danny Trejo.
Yeah, I guess he was in there briefly. Yeah. Alan's over there.
I'll go up next. Kyle Nuss. He says here, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, Cal Kilmer. You can't even get that.
Cal
Kilmer. Y'all got the fucking internet, man.
I got it from Wikipedia.
I know. Oh, my God. Pacino was the cop trying to catch them.
Man, y'all got Google.
God damn. I was drunk off mimosas when I made this question. Come on.
Y'all got the fucking information in your head. Boy, this generation.
It's an open book test.
It's an open book test with the internet. It's an open internet test.
Oh, I used to think that the internet was a God blessing, a godsend for these people right here.
It starts out that way, but, you know, television was the same way.
Wow. Really? Is it that hard that y'all just can't even move your fingers now? God damn.
Cal Kilmer.
What Marvel superhero is that? Scott Kopax. The answer is Val Kilmer, Robert De Niro, Danny Trejo, Tom Sizemore, and Kevin Gage.
Correct.
Thank you.
God damn it.
Oh, wow, people.
Who was that?
That was Scott Kopax.
Third fastest man.
Damn. I swear, half of y'all, we gave y'all a hammer. Y'all bit yourselves in the head with it. The fuck?
What'd I do with this?
Man, what'd I do?
Cal Kilmer.
God damn. We gave the answers there. We just simply look on the internet. It's not like it was on a time limit.
It was the first paragraph.
Wow.
It was the first paragraph of the Wikipedia page.
Oh.
And I just pulled the cast names. I was like, okay, that's right.
If y'all were in the desert dying of thirst, we would give y'all a glass of water. You just throw it in your face.
Now what do I do?
You just pour it out on the fucking sand. I don't know. Oh, okay. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.
Beginning of a good week.
So, Scott, what's going to happen is you're going to be put in the running for the contest. We're going to have four people who are going to try to give us answers for three more questions coming up. So we have Monday, Tuesday, and the day the movie comes out, Wednesday, which is when we'll do our review, too. And on that day, we'll figure out who gets the poster signed by the cast and also who gets the soundtrack. So we got two prizes to give away. And with that said, I think that is it. We're getting ready to get out of here, y'all. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And don't forget about the party coming up. August 4th. Through the wee hours of the 7th. That's when we'll have the Double Toasted third year anniversary weekend celebration. That's going to be a full 72 hours of shows, parties, games, lunches, brunches, and who knows what else we have coming up. Go to partydt.com and you'll find out. We got a lot more things coming up for you, a lot more information. So get your tickets, $25 today. And thank you, Juliana.
Appreciate it.
You've been very good. And yeah, you know when they sit there and shut up and just look pretty. And now when you make them Cosby faces, I'm here. Why are you doing that? Juliana, thank you. She's on. Got Asperger's too.
I'm getting more comfortable, so you're seeing my true colors. So
okay, yeah.
Stuck with me now.
Crazy. Yeah. Oh, I knew it couldn't last long. Thought you had some sense, but no. Sammy, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, Alan.
Oh,
Coming back to see me, man. Diego, how you doing? I know. And Bluto, a.k.a. Sammy. Sammy. Yeah, he does. He does. Yeah, I've known that dude for years. That's one of my closest friends in town. Sammy Negron.
And Gerald Edwards II. How you doing, son?
There he is.
Years.
Word
up. And
let me see here. What am I looking at here?
You?
Oh, I forgot about this. Man, y'all, where y'all getting these pictures from?
Radiator Springs? What is this?
Where? Do you remember this couple that we used to see back in the day when we were doing the cable access show? Do you remember them? They used to come out all the time.
Not really.
You're in a picture with them. Just say yes.
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
You have your arm around.
Martin. That's when Martin had that villainous goatee going on.
That was my evil doppelganger.
Yeah, evil Martin.
In front of a Beverly Hills Chihuahua poster. Yeah.
When did we? I'm like you. I remember this couple, but when did we take that picture, man? And why is it on the internet?
Man, I don't know how they found that picture.
Skull found it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Man, there's face search now on Facebook. Like you can, or like reverse image search. So like, oh, if I really? Put a picture of you, uh-huh. I can find pictures of people that look like you or are you. So,
wow.
Yeah.
They automatically tag sometimes. Yeah, your face is out there, man.
Nothing's safe anymore. It's out there. Jeez. All right, everybody. Well, we're gonna get out of here now. Thank you so much, and I apologize for the starting and the stopping. Really don't know what that how that happened. That was something from I think a server problem that was not on.
Gotta get
end.
To the bottom of it
today.
Something must be done.
Danielle is back and she is on the What Up Son show every Monday now. I think we finally found our groove. So thank you guys for wanting the show to come back, and happy to have Danielle back. It's a lot of fun having her there.
Oh, yeah, she was good this last episode. She was real sharp.
No, she was. She's actually very good. Very good. I think we found the right format for her.
Good.
For us all. We have the – oh, I got to tell you something. We need to work something out because we got a couple of movies that are going to have the embargo lifted. And we probably want to jump on those early.
Okay. Is it stuff we've seen already?
Yeah. And okay. We will have seen by or later this week.
Okay.
So I'm thinking maybe doing the show on Thursday instead of Wednesday.
This week?
Yeah. But you know something? I would like to do it.
I without looking at my calendar, I can't give you an answer.
Or
right
maybe
now.
We do just one thing on Thursday and then get on out.
Okay.
Because it would help us on YouTube. We jumped on something early.
Okay. All right.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
And that is it, people. So go to doubletoasted.com. Check out our live streams over there. You know how we do. We have all these live streams for you. And when you watch a live stream, there is so much more interaction you can have with us. And if you miss the show, don't worry about it. We got the DT archives that you can go into and check out all the video and audio that you've missed. Try the service out 7 days for free. If you don't like it, you can stop at any time. Keep the audio, though. Audio is free all the time. And you can find it on SoundCloud or now on iTunes. But if you go over to the SoundCloud, you yourself can put your shows up, get a lot of listeners, and then get those
fat checks
in.
Fatter the better.
I like it like that.
Damn right.
And let me see what else we got here. Janice the Muppet says, go check out the Midnight Chat Attack. every Saturday. Yeah, every Saturday, 7:30 to midnight Central Standard Time. You can go in there and talk to them the regular way by typing in your comments, but you can also check their YouTube stream out and see all those beautiful faces behind all those ugly insults. The Midnight Chat Attack. And that is it. And did I thank you, Martin? If I didn't, thank you, sir.
You betcha.
I appreciate it. We are out of here. So the only thing that's left to do is to talk to you, because what we have to tell you is the church is always open, even when it's not Sunday. You can come down here and see us, or if you want to take the easy way out, make it convenient on yourself, pull out a keyboard and type in kcoolmans@gmail.com. That's kcoolmans@gmail.com. You email us with any kind of questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and our advice. Now, if you'd like to be a part of the show, the church, it's too late. You missed it. It's done. But we'll be back. As I told you, we've got a lot of shows coming up this week. And if you'd like to be part of those, email us. Put in that email, your phone number, your Skype contact,
pressing bow. I'm up in your home talking to you, the only bastard in the world who do my house calls. On the Twitter at Get Cool Man. On the Instagram at Double Toasted Fan Page. On the Facebook, type in Double Toasted. Would you like some private prayer time with me? Type in Corey.Coleman.5. If I'm too busy, Minister Martin.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Martin _ no fro. Or go to Facebook and look for Martin Thomas. And while you're there, you can check out and join a group, the Children of the Toast. Sammy?
Sammy Gonzalez DT on Facebook. The Mexilence on all other forms of social media. Thursday, maybe earlier, depending on what they got to do. Independence Day. Juliana?
You're not allowed to follow me yet.
You're not allowed to follow her at all.
Solid move.
So don't. Back the fuck up. I want to say thank you to Ryan. It's Ryan, right? The guy that brought the pancake mix? Brian?
Brian.
Brian. I made fun of him for bringing pancake mix, but he brought me this mug.
Where's my pancake?
Yeah. I'm actually drinking pancake mix right now.
Batter.
Yeah. Brought me this mug that says, like a boss. I like that. I'm drinking out of it right now. Thank you. So,
wait, when did he give you that?
With the pancake mix, but it wasn't as funny, so I didn't mention it.
Fair.
But come on down to the world-famous Double Toasted Studios. Right there. Come see his show. I don't know. You're going to be visiting Austin. You're going to be moving to Austin because it's so cool. Or you already live in Austin. You didn't tell anybody. That's creepy. Don't do that. KCoolMans at gmail.com. Let us know. Come see his show. Good night. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Whenever you are listening to or watching this, goodbye
and stay toasty.
Yeah.